Blog Talk Radio.
Show started tonight. Welcome everybody. Sunday night again. You're listening to the West Texas Pitmaster Barbecue Show from Barbecue Superstars. Coming off the holiday weekend. And been having a good time. So I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. And I know we did. I know everybody's probably tired of looking at turkeys. I know that I'm pretty much tired of looking at turkeys. I know I saw Chris Chadwick earlier. I think he was tired of looking at turkeys. So we'll give it another few weeks. And then, of course, I imagine we'll all be cooking some more for Christmas. Maybe some prime rib or something differently, hopefully. But it's always good to have a little bird every year. And, of course, I prefer ham. So I would say I like that even better. But it was good. It's good to spend some time with family and kick back and relax, watch a little ball, and have a good time. I'd like to go ahead and give a shout-out to all of our sponsors here real quick and give them a big shout-out. Number one, Raider Red Meats. Got some great competition meats, or if you're grilling in your backyard, or if you're wanting to impress some friends or family, They got some great safe stuff like that. Give them a shout. You can find them on Facebook, or you can find them online now under Red Red Meats. Oak Ridge Barbecue. What can I say? Well, Trump's got some great products out there. Need to give a shot. I know we've done very well this year cooking with his products, and he's been a great asset to our team and our success this year. So you can find him under Oak Ridge Barbecue. GOT Energy Services, another one of our big sponsors. Been very supportive of what we've been doing this year. I'd like to shout out to Brandon and Jennifer Spalding for all their help, and great people. Thank you very much. GOT Energy, or Pitmaster's Depot. Zach and Jay down there, my boy down there in Florida. If you're looking for lots of great products, I mean competition products, rubs, sauces, whatever you're looking for, they have one of the cheapest shipping rates out there right now, $10, and they'll ship you just about anything that you can think of. So give them a shout. You can find them under pitmasterdepot.com. Big Ron Fives, another one of our big supporters, been with us from the very beginning. Big Ron's got some great stuff out there. Got a great beef injection, got other rubs and stuff. Great guy. Give him a shout. He'll take care of you. Texas Web and Graphic. You're looking for business cards, banners, logos, whatever. Paul Lawrence down there, he sure picks you up. Job does all of our banners. I know y'all have all seen those and stuff. And man, he's quick, and he does a superb job. You can find him under TexasWebAndGraphics.com. Eddie Cheese Barbecue, old Jason Adams. You can find him on Facebook or I believe under EddieCheeseBarbecue.com. Got some great sauces out there. He's always got new things in the works and stuff. And so give Jason a shout. He's got some great sauces. Been a very big part of our team this year, and I look forward to many years to come. Meat Rake, like I said, if you need to pull your meat, you need to shred it or pull it, beef, pork, chicken, whatever. Grab yourself a set of Meat Rakes. They work great, and they'll sure do the job. Grill Great, Brad Barrett. He's got some great products out there. If you're looking for that infrared type style cooking, you can put grates on just about anything out there that you have. They will improve your performance of your grill 100%. He's got several other new products out there now. Give Brad and them a shout. You can find them under grillgrates.com, or you can find Brad Barrett underneath Facebook, or you can find Grill Grates on Facebook. Great products. Neat looking for stuff to throw in your stocking and stuff. That's something to think about. He's got lots of new items out. And any of these people, I mean, they've got lots of stocking stuff and stuff like that. So if you're looking for something to throw out there, give them a shout, and they can sure fix you up. And so, well, I don't have a lot planned for tonight. Been some busy set of irons in the fire, and we've been cooking, and we got some other big stuff in the works. Our December is going to be a blur. I don't know if you've been following some of the Facebook stuff, but there's been a lot going on. We've got a lot going on. I've got some exciting things coming in the month of December. So we're really excited. Just got lots to do. We're going to be hooked up and blowing and going. Matter of fact, starting tomorrow, we'll be blowing and going nonstop for the next couple of weeks. So, really probably till Christmas Eve, so like that, because we'll get everything kind of put back together. And we got a few catering, some Christmas parties to do. And then I'm sure we'll be cooking turkeys, hams, prime ribs, whatever anybody else wants for the holidays. And December, this month it's just going to kind of blow by. I was hoping to maybe get to go down and cook in the R&O All-Star Shootout, but it don't look like that's going to happen. Just got too much on our plates this month, and so we're going to have to miss it this year. So hopefully maybe next year we'll finally get to go down there and cook with them boys. And I don't know if they're full yet. I hadn't talked to Billy here in the last couple of weeks. But there are no shootout. I mean, they're if you're looking to go cook against the best and you've won a grand champion or own an R&O pit, give Billy Overton a shout, and he'll see if there's any openings. He might be able to still get you in, and you can go down there and you can compete with all the big boys. I mean, it's not just Texas. It's going to be – they're coming from all over. I mean, I believe I've heard that Mo Kaysen's going to show up. So you're gonna have some really, really spectacular cooks. I know I believe Ray Bonner and Kirk Pittman, I think that they're going to go down. They're going to cook it from our area. I'm sure you got Jeff Wyatt. He'll be cooking. There's going to be a lot of super teams out there, and it's going to be one tough competition. I can tell you that right now. And like I said, I wish we were there to go down and cook it, but like I said, you know, it's going to work out for us this year. So, we got some bigger things going on, and so we got to get that taken care of, and hopefully, like I said, next year we can win another GC and qualify down there to go there and cook with them boys. Looking forward to it. And all right, everybody. Well, I need some callers tonight. Call in. We'll talk a little barbecue or whatever else is on y'all's mind. The number to call is 347-202-0263. I said, let's call in. Let's talk. And let's see what's going on out there. See what else everybody else has been doing. See what they've got going on. And, we just got lots of stuff going on around here. I know that Daryl Mass, he cooked a turkey Thursday morning and for everybody. I think he did a live show on that, and I didn't get a chance to watch it. I was busy cooking another round of birds myself, so I didn't get a chance to really watch much of that kind of stuff. And time I got done, we'd gone for about 48 hours straight and working, after we had Thanksgiving dinner, I kind of sat down and I kind of turned into a vegetable for a while, and then went and actually braved some of the good old Thursday night Walmart bashing, and I won't ever do that again, but they had a few things that we really were needing for some stuff coming up, and so I went out and joined into that, and I think that that'll be my last time. So, like I said, it's been busy. It's been busy. I know a lot of the guys have been busy. I know everybody's been blowing and going. I know Chadwick, he was cooking a ton of turkeys. And, matter of fact, we talked earlier today, and I think he was having oysters on the half shell tonight for supper. And I hadn't even made it that far yet, so he's actually a little ahead of me. I decided to have an adult beverage. Got a couple of them old Blue Mountains going, and I guess that's what we're going to do tonight. So, but, no, it's been good. I know everybody's kind of wrapping up the season. I know that it's kind of getting to the end of the year. I think that everybody's kind of, they might have one or two contests left for the year. I know Jim Berg, I think they're cooking Calhoun next weekend. I think that's their last contest for the year. So it's gonna kind of come down and be quiet. I think we're going to try. It's looking like probably our first contest for next year. Right now, it's looking like Western Wood Series in Hialeah, Texas. I believe that's how you pronounce it anyways. I think we're going to go down there and we're going to cook. I know they had theirs last weekend. They had the first one down in Green, down by New Braunfels. and had 150 teams. Sounded like it was a hell of a contest. And I think since they paid out over $34,000 at that one. And so I got my email last week that I think I was on the wait list until I got my email to go ahead and send my money. And so I think that's right now I kind of think that that's probably where we're going to be at. It's going to be the end of January. Go down there and cook with Sierra and some of them boys down there and have a good time. We don't get to go down that way very often, but, you know, that's kind of a little warmer down there that time of year in January than it is up here where we're at. So there's not much cooking going on in our part of the world, but down there they've got stuff going on. So I think we're going to go down there and you know, hang out with them, cook a little bit, see if we can't do some good down there, kind of get our season started. So right now that's kind of what we're looking at. So it ought to be good. It ought to be fun. I know it's of Steve and the boys down there at Western Woods have been really blowing and going on this deal, and it's been big. And it looks like, you know, it could be a great contest, so great series. And, you know, I talked to Steve the other day about some of that. You know, maybe in the future, you know, maybe we'll get something out this way in the West Texas area to where, you know, some other teams, you know, maybe out of Colorado or New Mexico, this side of Oklahoma and stuff, you know, might be able to come down out here and cook in West Texas with some of us down here, Kansas area, and have a good time and, you know, get them up in our neck of the woods and have a little shootout up this way. So I know that we're also working on a series contest in IBCA this year, also in the Panhandle region too, doing like a three contest type deal too. I'm still working out all the details on that stuff, and as we get a little closer, I know Dana's kind of running all of that. Dana Sandoval, one of the head judges for IBCA in this part. She can kind of get everything going. We're going to try to do something like that up here and, you know, have something that way, up this way too. And, of course, I mean, January's right around the corner. I'm sure, you know, the Sam's Club Challenge, it'll be firing up again. You know, we'll be looking to see what locations and stuff, you know, that may be possible for us to go cook again next year. Always look forward to cooking a couple of those, you know, hopefully a year. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe this year it'll be a little closer. If we get to the local and maybe advance to the regional, maybe it'll be a little closer for us instead of Las Vegas this year to do something. So that'll be going on. That'll kind of take off in January normally. And then, of course, St. Laura and them, they're going to have the Shotgun Fred shootout in February, 1st of March. They're going to have that contest down at Huntsville. It's going to be a Kansas City Barbecue Society contest. We're going to try to, if everything works out, we're going to try to make it down there and make a trip for them boys down there, down that way this year. So, you know, that might start our KCBS year for us, 1st of March. And then we'll have several. After the 1st of March around here in West Texas, and we'll start having several contests. I know we'll have La Mesa. They'll have one probably around the 1st of April. Buffalo Springs, they'll have their state championship wings cook-off mid-April. And then Chris Jones and them are going to put on another Kansas City Barbecue Society cook-off in Midland end of April. Should be another big blowout. We had about 60 teams down there last year. It was a good cook-off. So that'll happen. And then May 3rd, 4th, I believe we're going to have a big state championship cook-off here in Plainview. And then you've got May, we'll have Homer's Backyard Bash. That's a big one. We had 105 teams there last year. and then it'll kind of, you know, then we'll just have to kind of see. So that's kind of where we'll be at. That's kind of some of the contests we'll cook next year. You know, there may be a few more in between here and there that we'll try to hit. I think we cooked about 23 this year. We'll probably kind of stay in that range, hopefully. And, you know, we'll just have to see. We'll see how we do. And if we're doing well, we'll cook more. If we're not doing so well, we'll probably cook less. So we'll just have to see how it goes. And so I look forward to it. You know, we hadn't cooked since our last contest, I guess, was November, the first weekend of November, and that was the Wild Hog Cook-Off down in Kroll. And so we've been off for a month already, and, you know, it looks like we may be off for about 3 months at this rate. I guess we'll have technically we're going to have a big cook-off coming in the end of December. Be a little different type of a cook-off, so some of our big stuff going on, kind of an invitational type deal. There'll be more details to follow on that, and looking forward to that. And so I guess that'll be our last cook-off per se. And so we'll see what happens. But like I said, we can get some guys to call in tonight. The number is 347-202-0263. Call in. Let's talk some barbecue. You know, see what else is going on out there. And, you know, see if there's any other contests or anything. I know that there's been a bunch going on, and I know there's lots of people been doing things here and there. And, of course, like I said, it is a holiday weekend, so I imagine there's lots of people traveling and that kind of stuff. I actually come home a day early than what I normally would, because we've got a bunch of big catering to do next weekend, and so I had to go do a bunch of shopping yesterday and get a bunch of supplies and stuff and kind of get home and kind of get some things rounded up, wrapped up, straightened up from cooking turkeys. And like I said, we're got another big endeavor starting tomorrow, so I had to kind of get some things going, kind of done, so I wasn't trying to do all of that, because we're going to be cooking, like I said, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this coming weekend, catering for people. So looking forward to that. You know how it is. Anytime you get an opportunity to go cook, and, you know, especially if you can make some money doing it, that's always a good thing. So that's what we like. So, and, wow, I just flipped over to the chat room. I've been kind of a little bit behind back here. And I guess the boys have been busy in there. Looks like we got Jason in there and Stacy. Swamp Donkeys are in there. And, man, I didn't realize that they were that busy. Man, they've been doing some typing in over there. Looks like it's been pretty busy. And then we got another guest in there, too. I don't know who they are. Guest 4848. I don't know who we have. And I guess I'll throw something out here and give them a little shout-out tonight. So, you know, like I said, I guess it may be a slow night for us. So, maybe we'll have some people call in here a little bit. I think Chad was going to call in here a little while. He said he'd probably call in the second half. So, that'll always get things fired up. And so, there's a lot of people's got a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, so with that, you know, let's talk, you know, we were kind of talking turkeys and stuff like that a little bit ago. But, you know, during Christmas and stuff, you know, what, I'd like to know kind of what everybody else cooks and stuff. I know, you know, I come from beef country, and so, you know, a good old prime rib or a good old beef tenderloin or something like that I always like. And, you know, of course, you know, smoked ham's always a great thing. And, you know, so You know, there's lots of other stuff out there that you can cook for the holidays and stuff. You know, where I come from too, well, you know, one of our big deals was, you know, Mexican food. And so, you know, we always had pozoles and tamales. I used to make tamales all the time, every Christmas and stuff for everybody. And, but man, it is a pain in the butt to do all of that. But, you know, it's always a lot of fun. I do mine a little different. I usually smoke some pork butts, get some smoke in them, and use more of a chili rub. I rub that into the meat and stuff, and then I'll pull it, and then I'll mix in some more chili, what we call a kind of an Espanol sauce from. It's a red sauce. I'll mix that up into the meat. And then to your masa, you know, just that way, it kind of gives it a smoky chili flavor, kind of a chipotle type flavor to it. It's really good. And so when I first started smoking meat and stuff like that, that's kind of how I did some of that stuff, was doing it that way. So. Well, we've got a caller in. Let me get them queued in, and we'll just keep on talking. 816-509-4845, you're live. Who do we have?
Hey, Lance, it's Mike Trump.
Michael Trump, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm great. So, well,
you got... Sounds like Turkey Day, all right.
Yeah, you know, you kind of mixed feelings about that. You know, you always like to do it, and by the time you get done with it, you hate it.
Yeah.
It's like, let's eat one more turkey. It's like, well, I guess y'all had a good turkey day?
Yeah, we had a good day. We didn't cook anything. That was refreshing, so just kind of took it easy and had people cook for me.
Hey, there you go. Well, I didn't get so lucky on that end of it. I've kind of taken over the cooking end of it, or the meat part of it at least. I usually don't have to do the sides and stuff, thank goodness, but I usually get the rest of the duty. And, of course, I kind of enjoy it, you know, do a little bit of it here and there. And so, it's been good. How have y'all been?
We've been busy. We've got a heck of a sale going on right now, and it's just been, we've been buried this whole weekend, so. We've got 15% off everything on the website for all this weekend Monday. So we've been just busier than heck.
That's right. I forgot about that. I'm glad you brought that up because you sent out an email. I know I seen that the other night, your Cyber Monday type deal.
Yeah.
And that's a great deal. I mean, that is a great deal, 15% off, you know. And, you know, we don't see many other people doing that with rubs and stuff. You're one of the few that I've seen do that. So, you know, that's a heck of a deal, especially with your rubs. So, but that's good. Matter of fact, we're going to have a conversation later this week. I've got some things in the work, and I just hadn't had a chance to holler at you. But I need to talk to you a little bit about some stuff coming up in December for us, too. So.
Okay.
I don't know what your schedule's like, but like I said, I'll let you get past maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that, and I'll give you a shout. And let you
hopefully I'll be able to breathe by then.
And, we got some things coming up, and I've been meaning to contact you about it. I just, you know how it is, been busy. I know exactly what you're saying.
I think
our December's going to be – go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, we've had a hell of a year, so we're past 13,000 pounds, and it's just crazy. So
that is absolutely amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Especially considering every ounce of it's been, you know, handmade. So it's quite a bit. You know, they always ask the funny question, how do you eat an elephant? I guess you eat it one bite at a time. So that's how you make 13,000 pounds.
Yes, sir.
But it has been an adventure this year. We've seen sales increase like we've never seen. But that's in large part to your efforts out there on the contest trail and the other members of Team Oak Ridge. And just want to lift my hat to you guys. And I had a heck of a lot of fun meeting you guys in Kansas City whenever you were there for the Royal. And you did a great job at the Royal. And I want to congratulate you on that, too. So.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we hoping to do a little bit better, but, you know, so I told everybody, I said, the hell, we didn't come in last in anything. And, you know, 18th and chicken, I about fell over, you know, because that's been, you know, that's something we've all talked about. I mean, we've talked about chicken offensively. And, you know, that's something that has killed me this year. And then you go into a contest like that, and, you know, you're sitting there and, you think, you know, this could be really bad for chicken. Really see how bad it is, and then, you know, you did, that's your best category, so that's, you know, I never figures, but you know, no, it was great to meet you guys, meet you, and I know it was kind of hectic there when you come by, and we were, trying to get everything lined out, but it was great to meet you, and it was, man, I really appreciate you coming by. I mean, hand-delivering rub to all of us at the Royal was pretty awesome to have you do that, and I appreciate that very much. You know, can't get that, you know, anywhere else that I know of. So,
I enjoy doing it. I mean, a lot of times it's my only chance to get to meet you guys because, you know, we live on opposite ends of the country practically. So it's a good time for me, too.
Well, you know, and that is. And, I mean, you know, I wish it wasn't so far up there for us. I mean, I wish we could go up that way and cook more because, you know, we've got lots of friends up there, you know, and I have, you know, some real close friends that live in Marshall, you know, not too far from there. And, you know, they actually got to come down and they spent the weekend with us and we cooked matter of fact, they lived here in Plainview for several years. That's how we got to know them. And, you know, we barbecued a lot together and, we hadn't got to do something like that in probably 10 or 12 years. So it was, it was kind of nice to get up there and see all of them and be able to do that. And like I said, I wish, you know, we could do more of that up that way. It's just, 700 miles one way. It's just a long ways up there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. The amount of miles you guys cover is amazing anyway. So, yeah, to make that trip was awesome.
Yes, that was, that was one of those true, you know, no one of true marathon type deals, you got to do it. And, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you get those opportunities, you never know if you'll ever get that opportunity again. And so you got to do what you can.
And
like I said, a big deal for me was to my daughter to cook in the kids cube up there. And, I wished I could say that I was 9 years old and I've already cooked at the Royal. That's out of 43. I'm sitting there and I look at that and I was like, So that's just some of them deals. I mean, you just, that's just priceless to me. And, I enjoy the snot out of that. And then, heck, we turned right around. We went to Dallas the weekend after that. We got home on Monday night, and we showed up in Dallas. I got to Dallas about 1:30 Saturday morning to cook the IBC Invitational over there. And, kudos once again. We had 11th in brisket and had a 90 championship teams and an 8th in pork loin there, 7 named table. So there was us and of course Brian, I think he was 9th or I think he was 9th in brisket and there was a few of us that kind of hit right there in the top right there. And it was a good showing for us in Oak Ridge. It was a good deal. So, and got to hang out with Brian a little bit more. We got to hang out a little bit at the Royal too. You know, he's always a lot of fun. And you never know what he's going to be doing. So,
yep.
for what he might be posting or anything else. So, no, it was good. And and I know that you're working on some new stuff too.
We do. I'm in the middle of finishing up on a new rub. We're hoping to have it done by Christmas time. We'll see how that goes, but it's in the prototype phase right now. It's really good. I gave it to Brad Kay with Lang Smokers, and he took it down to Jacksonville, Florida, in an FBA contest. First time it's ever been used in a contest. First time he's ever seen it. And to his credit, he got first place and damn near a perfect score in ribs with it. So
really,
yeah.
That's a
pretty good out of the box showing, I guess. You want to call it
yes,
that?
Sir.
But of course, he's a hell of a cook, so I got to give him most of the credit. But it was it's kind of one of those things. You know, you send it out there, kind of like when you send your kids out when they're grown, and you kind of hope they do good. But you don't know. It's up to them. It's all on them. And either flop or they don't. Well, that's so far all of the preliminary reviews have come back glowing on it. So we're hopeful that everybody's going to like it. You know, I never rush anything to market. We always test the crap out of it, and just like Black Ops. I mean, it was in the design phase for 2 years before we ever released it. And this one we're going to come to market a little bit quicker than that, but I had a good solid idea and kind of went with it. And within a few iterations, it was close enough that I felt confident to start giving it to people to try. So far, so good. Yeah. So
I'm going to have to get a hold of some of this. You may have to sit on this a little bit. You know, that's the thing anymore is that, it's like this, even like sauces and stuff. You know, it gets out there, and once it kind of starts going, you know, it really, you know, it's, guys start hitting with it. I mean, boy, it'll take note real quick. And it's not like it used to be. You know, it might take a while for it to kind of get around. So like that anymore, it's pretty. It's kind of like I'll tell you. I mean, you know, our friends that live up there, Marshall, he works for Cargill, and he's worked in the Cargill meats for probably 20 years now, matter of fact, he came out of Texas Tech's animal science. He was a meat judge, stuff like that. And he's always cooked a lot of barbecue. He does a lot of, community type stuff and everything like that. And so I broke up. You know, we were cooking with your rubs, stuff like that. And I'll never forget the first day we cooked the invitational. And he looked at me, he's like, man, he said, what is all this stuff? And I said, I just relax, you know. We're going to kind of go through the process here and everything. And I'll never forget the look on his face when he tried something. And all those notes that kind of hit and stuff. And he'd be like, man, I said, this stuff is very complex, but, man, it is really good. And he's like, it's not one-dimensional. I was like, no. Welcome to a whole different side of barbecue, buddy. And he's like, wow. He said, I didn't come in here with a lot of expectations of really, tasting a lot of, something, just so much different or, so much. He said, I am really amazed on how much different you guys cook in competitions and all of the flavors and stuff that you guys are developing with this stuff. I said, there you go. I said, we get these rubs, stuff like that. And I said, man, as a matter of fact, I sent a package of Oak Ridge Black Ops with him. He loved the Black Ops. And so I said, here, take a package. It was amazing. I mean, it was amazing to because he's always been very critical, kind of an overachiever with a lot of stuff. And to see the look on his face of how those were and how those rubs tasted and on meats and stuff like that was one of those moments that you like, well, you just wowed somebody that's pretty hard to wow. That says a lot because, like I said, I mean, you don't have to deal with a lot of people like that, you know, even at contests, we don't deal with a lot of people like that. We deal with some. But, you know, when you can get those kind of things out of people that are real critical and critic like that, it just amazes me. And, you know, it just, you know, makes us, you know, that we've gone to that next level. We've, you know, and, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, you've been a very big part of our success this year with your rubs. And, you know, we've done lots of different things and cooked lots of different ways. And, you know, it just, it's been amazing. And so, you know, I say, you know, keep going. And you got a new one out. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's definitely different. There isn't anything else I've ever made like it. I mean, you know, I'm never a copycatter. I know, I suppose, by luck of the draw, since there's so many rubs out there, it's always possible that we could come up with something that may seem similar to somebody else's, but never intentional. You know, the luck of the draw more than anything else. But this one is definitely, there isn't anything like it in our stable. So, you know, it features granulated honey, which isn't something that's unique in the rub. You know, there's a few rubs out there have granulated honey, and we use a very specific kind of fancy grade Vietnamese cinnamon in it as well that I don't think anyone else is using, but there may be, you know, there's, like I said, there's always a possibility, but along with some other things I won't really talk about
that
fall into the other spices you know, category on the labeling. Yeah. It really, you know, I was blown away. I mean, you know, you always want your, you know, anything you make, you want it to be good and you want it to be unique and stand out. And
sure.
I had it up at deer camp. We tested for the first time with some country style pork ribs, which are really nothing more than a pork butt cut into strips. But we needed something. I needed something I could cook on the kettle grill because that's what we have up there. And something I could do indirect and quick, so it didn't take 4, 5, 6 hours to do, because we'd just come in from hunting, and you know, we had a couple hours to kill before it got too late, time to go back to bed, so we get up and do it again in the morning. So we rubbed them up and put them on the kettle grill indirect, and color was just fantastic on them. And they, you know, even cooking in a hot kettle grill, you know, I probably cooked them around 350, 375. They didn't burn at all. Even with all
really?
That sugar and honey in there, it did not burn any more than, you know, I mean, maybe the corners did a little bit. They got a little bit too close to the direct coals, but I mean, that's, any rub will do that.
Right. Oh,
absolutely. And hell, I mean, the meat by itself will do that without a rub on it. So, and it was just, all the guys at camp were like, wow, this is, you know, I think you got something here. So whenever I start hearing that, then I think I know we're getting close. Well, we're still fiddling with it a little bit, fine-tuning it, you know, making sure the heat level's right, making sure it's balanced, because that's one of our hallmarks, is everything's is balanced. And that's oftentimes the hard part, because you can come up with a recipe that hits on 8 out of 10 cylinders, but you're missing the 2, and so you got to fiddle with it a little bit more so you get it out there where it's hitting on all 10, and it's covering all the bases. So that's kind of where we're at right now. I think it's pretty damn good, but it's just not perfect. We're still in that fiddling phase, but I'm hoping we'll have all that done by Christmas so we can get it out to the public.
Well, it sounds like it also maybe that, you know, what you kind of described to me is, you know, in our part of the world, it sounds like it might even work on chicken.
You guys are a hell of a lot more creative than I am, believe it or not, and daring and afraid, or not afraid to try it on other things. And my hat goes off to you guys, because, you know, I'm a little bit more, I don't know, I don't have a little tiny box I live in, but I do stay inside my box a little bit. And so, you know, just like Black Ops, I mean, I designed it specifically for beef. I mean, it was one of those things where I knew we had a good beef rub with our competition beef and pork, but I always liked it better on pork than I did beef. I mean, just being honest. But, you know, for the longest time, it was our only rub. I mean, it's what we use for just about everything. And that's why I really started developing Blackouts, was to kind of fill that niche where, you know, I wanted to create the best pork or the best beef rub on the market, and I think we've come pretty damn close to that. So,
I would say so. I mean, there's something, I don't know if you heard me here a while back, but, you know, and here's something that I hadn't realized. Of course, I'm so far behind, I need to get all my stuff into you because I've got lots of calls that I don't even have, you don't have any recorded yet.
Yeah, don't worry, I'm really far behind on doing all that too. But, yeah, go ahead.
But I'm glad that you are because I'm behind too.
Yep.
And, but, when we started out cooking, chicken was, in IBCA, chicken was probably our best category. And then ribs was probably our second best category. And, you know, that's kind of what got us out there and got us to be known. I mean, you know, everybody kind of, you know, seen us because that's, you know, that's what we were hitting in. And brisket, like, to killed us. I mean, cost me a couple of state championships. I mean, you know, be tied for a grand champion and lose out because of brisket.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just eluded me. And, you know, I went back in, you know, and last year we started hitting a little bit. We were doing more final tables type stuff, you know, kind of that 8 out of 10 kind of thing. Well, that was kind of us. I mean, we finally started getting, you know, a few hits here and there, you know, and but it was really sporadic. And then I have a buddy over in Dallas. Matter of fact, I gave him some of your rub here when we were at Traders. And we talked a little bit, and I kind of got a little bit different perception about how they were cooking over there. And I took that and then I applied it to what we were doing with your rubs and stuff. And bam, we took off, and I got to looking the other day, and, you know, we've had, you know, like 9 or 10 top 10 calls in brisket this year. It has become our number one category this year. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, how the hell did that happen so often? But, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, that changed the dynamic. And, I mean, you know, I'll give Black Ops a lot of that credit right there because, you know, we walked a bunch with it this year. And, you know, you don't realize it, you know, how much we had walked with it, you know, until you get there and start looking at it. And, of course, you know, hats off to Will Cleaver. You know, they redesigned the IBCA website to where, you know, we can finally see all of our results on one page. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's when it starts coming home. It's when you can go on there and you can look at, you know, all the different contests on one page and see what's going on and compare everything. And it's like, bam, it's like, holy hell, how'd that happen?
Yep.
And so, you know, I was pretty pumped, you know. You know, I said, like going to Trader's Village and that IBCA cookoff, I mean, there are just, you know, top-notch cooks over there. And when we walked in brisket, you know, matter of fact, Ronnie Wade, which is, you know, the top cook as far as I'm concerned at IBCA, you know, was number 3 at the Jack Daniels. And, you know, he was 15th place this year at Trader's. And I thought, oh, wow, that's unbelievable. And we started hitting down below that, and I thought, unbelievable. So don't change that. Don't lose that recipe. It's almost safe to you.
Yeah, we won't change it. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's that experimenting with those rubs and stuff are what really impresses me about you guys on the trail. You know, I've had a number of people come to me and talk to me about how good a rib rub or even how good a chicken rub that Black Ops is, and really, not that it wouldn't be necessarily, but you know, you talk about, you know, would this new rub be good on chicken? I would hate to say, because I would have never thought Black Ops would have been good on chicken, but there's people walking with Black Ops chicken. So the right cook and the right technique and a good rub, you can do well with just about anything. So. And I know ours obviously. So,
but I mean, I think you're right about that. I mean, you know, and here's the thing. And I mean, and I think that, you know, there's some merit to what you're saying because, you know, there's lots of great cooks out there. And, you know, in our day and age, there's so much information out there. There's so much different than what it was, you know, 10 years ago or 5 years ago. Hell, 3 years ago. You know, so much more information. I mean, the level of rugs and all that end of it, it has gotten more complex. It's gotten, you know, super competitive. And but the other side of that is too is that, you know, you can almost count on one hand the major players in rugs generally. You mm-hmm. know. And so that also gets to a point that, you know, everybody's kind of cooking the same way, and you get to some contests that, I mean, you know, everybody's using Blue's Hog sauce, and they're using, you know, Cimarron's or, you know, or Cosmos, something like that. They're all using the same deal, and all of a sudden, every same taste of damn same. And when it becomes to that, to me, when you go into the judging process, that really becomes a crapshoot. Because, I mean, hell, everything, I mean, you can't tell the difference. And, I mean, I was at an IBCA cook-off back in the fall, and I tasted the top three ribs. I mean, didn't know if they were the top three at the time. They were all good cooks, and they were all buddies of mine, and we were all right there, so you know how you're doing. You always got the rib swap going on, stuff like that. And mm-hmm. all three of the ribs tasted damn near identical.
Really?
And first, second, third, bam, bam, bam. And I thought, I'll be damned. And, you know, sometimes you need something that is a little different. And so, you know, just what you said, I mean, using black sauce on chicken. Hey, it is a good rub, and I've never thought about putting black sauce on chicken. But it may change it just enough that, you know, it may stand out from everybody else being the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, you know, that's what you need is you need something to be a little different. And, you know, because I used Blue's Hog down in this part of the world. In the very beginning, when I first started competing, and no one knew what the hell it was because that was up in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I specifically went to something like that. It wasn't even known around here. And I went to something like that because I wanted to be different. And, man, my first year, I mean, I was kicking butt with it. Hell, too many people seen it sitting around my camp. So now I can go to everybody else's camp, and everybody's got a bottle of Blue Hog. And, I mean, it's like, you know, okay, got to do something different here.
Yep. Yeah. But see, I'm from the old school camp where, you know, my first ribbon was a 180 in ribs, and they were Memphis style dry ribs with our competition beef and pork rub, and there wasn't an ounce of sauce on it. And when I cook at home, I don't cook with sauce. Not that I hate sauce, but I mean, you know, I've got all my rubs obviously at my disposal. I can use whatever I want, basically. And I prefer just to cook chicken or pork or brisket or whatever, or butts, you know, with no sauce. I folded to, you know, what I felt was probably the pressure of the time to use sauce whenever I did this contest a year ago, which is the first one I'd done in 6 years. Then I made my own sauce, but when you have a good rub and you put it on at the right quantity, you really don't need much sauce, if any at all. And that's kind of with this new rub. You know, we tested those pieces of pork with no sauce on it whatsoever. I didn't want anything on there to confuse
or influence
flavor profile. I wanted to taste just the rub. And I almost wonder. I mean, I don't know. This could be a four-hour conversation, and we probably still never get to the bottom of it. But, you know, there seems to be a proclivity amongst contestants, and it's not their fault because I think they get the feedback from the judges. And so it's got to start from the judging tent that to some degree, and I don't know how much, but, I mean, it's maybe a significant degree, judges expect sauce, and I think you talk with most cooks that have been out there any length of time, they'd agree with that. For me, that's just been one of those things I scratch my head on because I would love to have somebody call in or just hear from somebody who does well on a regular basis with not using sauce because that's, in my mind, is a somewhat, I don't know if I'm a purist or whatever, I don't really wouldn't consider myself that, but, you know, I mean, I guess because when I cook barbecue at home, I don't use sauce.
Well,
and
I agree with you that because, okay, I mean, you know, I come from beef background, and to me, you know, I'm a salt, pepper, garlic kind of guy on my steak, and that's all it needs. It don't need A1 or, I mean, if it was cooked correctly and done right, it don't need anything else. You know, that's all it needs. And so I agree with you on that end of it. If meat is properly cooked, I mean, that's all it needs is just some seasoning. And, you know, that I think you're right about that, too, is that, you know, especially like even like the IBCA stuff, you know, we get around a lot of this stuff, and they say, well, you know, we don't like sweet barbecue or blah, 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 but every time we turn around, that's what's going and that's what's hitting, and, you know, everything's got sauce on it, even brisket.
Right.
You know, you hear all the people in Texas say, well, we don't sauce briskets. My butt that they don't, because there's a bunch of them doing it, and there's a bunch of them hitting it. And
mm-hmm.
I've been doing it to some degree, too. It's very light, but just to give it a little bit of profile, and it hits.
Yeah.
And
that's the,
I don't think you need
you know, it. I agree. I don't think a rib cooked properly needs it either.
I agree.
Pile of pulled pork, you know. If you do it right and you use the au jus from the pork, I mean, it doesn't need any sauce. Now, I'm not a fan of dry pulled pork. I mean, it's got something on it, but I don't really like it wallered in sauce either. So, I don't know. I wish.
I just had a message from Philip Childery. He says, you ate sauce and you ain't winning.
Yeah, right. I know. And I don't disagree with that. And that's, I think that's, I don't know if it's sad commentary or not, but I guess I wish. Just like in KCBS, I know you guys that do a lot of IBCA don't have to deal with this, but, you know, there are guys that would love to skip the putting green and just put the frickin' meat in the box.
Yeah.
And I get it. I mean, yeah, there is a lot of effort and a lot of work and a lot of painstaking time that is spent building those boxes. I totally get it. And I guess if you are going to spend that much effort making a really pretty putting green, you do get some sort of credit for it, I suppose. I mean, but you're not supposed to. By the rules, they're not really supposed to be looking at it.
Yeah.
But it's there, and it's in the box. And you were to hold up, and I know they don't do this. They don't compare. It's certainly not supposed to compare. But you put two boxes side by side, and one without garnish and one with, and I'd bet $100 that the box with garnish, even if it looked kind of shabby, would still win out over the box without.
I agree.
And that goes back to, should it really? I mean, in a perfect world, I don't think it should. And the same goes with sauce. I mean, I think you should be able to stand, especially as a rub manufacturer. I mean, I want my rubs to be able to be good enough that they don't need sauce. And I think they are. But the problem is that the judges out there, I think, for whatever reason, expect there to be sauce. And, yeah, it does add another layer of flavor, another added complexity, perhaps. But it can also mute some of the finer, especially when you've got a rub like ours or Dizzy Pigs or some of the others out there that have some sophisticated or complicated flavor profiles. You know, you go putting sauce on it, and if it's not, it'll mute half the flavor profile from the rub.
Absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. I mean, it's kind of what, you know, you and I've talked about, you know, even, you know, using multiple rubs and stuff. I mean, you know, there's certain ways of doing it and things like that to where they complement each other or it gives it another layer of profile without taking away from what you've already done. And,
right.
You know, that's where we're at nowadays is that, you know, you don't want to mute out, you know, what you've done in the beginning or what you've done in the middle and stuff like that. You want all of that to kind of be there, but you all want them to kind of play together they all need to talk to each other and come out and say, okay, wow, you know, man, that's all it's all there. I mean,
yep.
You know, it's kind of like that salt and pepper and garlic kind of thing. I mean, they all play well together, but they all have just a little bit of their own personality that gives that flavor profile and it gives it its structure to it. And, you know, I think that that's what you need is that, you know, you've got to be able to be able to do those kind of things for it to all work to well together, but yet not kill one thing or the other. And,
yeah, I think that's,
no,
that's
that,
a good
that's
point. There's some guys that, you know, still may mix some of our rubs 50-50, and I'd caution them not to do that. There is a rule of diminishing returns, and anytime you mix something 50-50, you may be adding, you know, 50% of another profile, but you're also covering up 50% of the other profile.
Right.
So I caution guys to, if they're going to mix rubs, which I don't have a problem with, but if they're going to mix them, take a couple things into consideration. One, make sure that the rubs are dynamically different enough that each adds its own thing, and do it in such a way, too, that doesn't cause one or the other to be muted because you've added too much of the other. So, you know, for example, if you wanted to use our competition beef and pork, fine. If you wanted to layer on some Santa Maria, let's say, which is a vastly different flavor profile, do it in a light way. So pick one that you want to be your showcase rub, and then augment it just a little bit lightly with a second rub. And don't do the 50-50, because then you end up with some, you know, it's just like if you take a box of crayons and you take them all out and you put them in your fist, you got a big wad of crayons in your hand, and you start scribbling on a piece of paper, all it gets brown. Because they all the colors mixed together just makes brown. And it's the same type of thing with spices. So be careful. Be judicious in how you mix them. And then the other thing is the timing of when you mix them is also very important. You could use the same rub in three different applications and get a totally different, or maybe not totally different, but a different flavor profile than if you just used it straight up and at the beginning of the cook. So you put some on, you know, in while the meat's resting in the cooler, and it sweats on the meat, and then you put it on the pit and you cook it for a couple hours before the bark stiffens up, you put another application on. And then at the end, you could grind some really fine and do a light dusting at the very end so that rub doesn't get cooked at all. And now you've got three separate flavor profiles that have been, those spices in there have been cooked for different periods of time. So they're going to, their volatile oils are going to develop different flavor profiles because they've had different amounts of cooking. That's another way to do it.
Sure. Well, I like that. You know, I really like the grinding up part. You know, I've done some of that this year, and you know, you don't need much. You just need just a little bit, just to kind of, you know, especially the bite. I mean, if you're looking, you know, if you're cooking with rubs and stuff that has a little bit of kick to them, you know, and you want that chili just to kind of come out there and just kind of get them at the front of it just a little bit. You can put, you know, you can grind that up, put that out there, and, you know, that kind of hits them in the beginning, and they get a little bit of that bite instead of, you know, when I first started, I was doing everything, you know, most of my bite was at the back. And sometimes my bite, it took too long for them to get that bite. You know, it may be down, you know, another judge before that probably kind of hit them. And, you know, I think that, you know, we get dinged on that sometimes, but it brought some of it back to the front of it. Just to kind of get it kind of going, and you know that's also made a difference this year. I will say that. So
yep.
I do kind of like that a little bit of it. Just so you know, you don't need much. Like I said, I mean, you don't really want to change it. You just want to give it to where that part of it just kind of jumps out there and says, "Oh wow, hey, I'm here," and you know, and then that kind of sets everything off. And you know, whether it's the saliva part of it, maybe that's what sets it off a little bit. So you know that. I guess from the salivate or whatever you call it, and kind of get that going, and then, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know. And that's the other part of that is, too, you know, it's like IBCA, you know, when they judge, I mean, they cut off, you know, let's say brisket per se, and they're going to come in, they're going to cut a slice off, and cause they're going to use a knife and fork, they're going to cut it. They're going to take a bite, then they're going to pass that tray on. And so, you know, it's even more pronounced to me on that end than even in was like KCBS, because you know you're only sitting there for six judges. You may be sitting there with nine judges, and then, you know, he's still got to go final table and stuff like that. So you really got to make that thing jump out there and get them. And, I mean, it's got to get them pretty quick because, you know, they don't have – most of these people that go in there and judge IPCA don't have any they're off the street. They don't have any judging experience.
Right.
And so, you know, you've got to – I mean, you've really got to pop them and hit them in the very beginning with all that stuff and let it hit because they're not going to sit there, you know, and give it, you know, 30 seconds, you know, for all that to kind of like, oh, wow, you know, there's this and there's that and, okay, there's the heat, you know, they're not going to do all of that, you know. KCBS, to me, would be probably a little bit more to that nature as they're going to, you know, they're going to eat that slice of brisket, you know, and so, you know, they're going to have a little bit more time with it than what they do with some of this here. And, you know, it makes a difference. Absolutely makes a difference with it. And, you know, but, yeah, I mean, I think that you want to do that. And I think that you're right. I mean, you know, in your layers and stuff like that, and, you know, it's like you talked about, you know, sweating them out. I mean, that made a big difference on our chicken, just sweating that chicken out a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, made a huge difference because, and I'll tell you something else. I mean, that chicken that I cooked up there at Kansas City, I trimmed it up here. I did not pull any skins off that chicken. They were thighs. I did not pull any off. I left them. I trimmed them up, trimmed the bone down, you know, kind of got them into shape, you know, the best that I could. And then I vacuum sealed them and I froze them. That way I wouldn't have to do that up there. And I pulled them out and, you know, I ran my brine. Ran my brine early, a lot earlier than I ever have, and then pulled them out and then, you know, panned them up and put them back in the cooler, kind of like we talked about, then got it kind of dry, then I went ahead and put my rub on them, sweated them out for a little bit, and, you know, made a hell of a difference, and, you know, that's what I'll say. I mean, you know, when we had an 18th out of a 174 championship teams, I was like, hell, we might be onto something here. You know, so, and, you know, and they're real light color. Of course, I do some flipping and stuff with mine. I do some things a little different probably. And, you know, I didn't have, mine weren't real dark. Now, once I did the open, I didn't sweat those out as long. And you can see there was a little more of the rub didn't break down as much as it did the day before. And, of course, we were colder. You know, we had that front and everything come in, and it rained on us, and I kind of threw some things off, and they didn't sweat out like they should have. And, you know, that was just one of those things. I mean, that was just me not getting it to where it needed to be. And, you know, it made a difference. I mean, but, you know, saying that, I think we were 150th out of 562 teams. So, once again, I mean, that was astounding to me that we were up that far in chicken. And because I guarantee if we'd had chicken a couple of contests earlier this year in KCBS like that, they would have hit. We'd done really well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we might have even won something, you know. So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, it makes a heck of a difference, and, I mean, it did. I mean, it changed. And, I mean, you know, there was lots of, you know, I don't know how many. I believe that there was a Clark, us, Brian, I think Delane Crow, he was there. He was cooking. That was four of us that I knew that was cooking with Oak Ridge. I'm sure. How many did you have up there cooking? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. There were 15 or 17 sponsor teams. And then, I mean, there was an untold number that were, you know, using it that,
sure,
you know, weren't sponsored.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was a pretty good bunch of us up there cooking, you know, sponsor-wise. And, yeah, see, I got people listening. He's up for listening. People are shigging. But, you know, that's it. I mean, and you know, like I said, I mean, it just shows. I mean, you know, the level of competition and everything that's going on. I mean, it's just, you know, I can't wait till next year. I mean, I'm really, you know how it is. I mean, you know, you always take your first year and you know, we've kind of gotten to play with it now, and, you know, you start kind of getting into your groove.
Yeah.
You know, and your style with cooking with it now, and so now you're looking forward to the second year of, you know, now being able to go in there, and, you know, you're still going to do some tweaking and stuff, but, I mean, you know, a lot of the learning curve is already gone, you know, as far as the beginning of it, and, you know, we're just going out there and just, you know, hopefully, you know, really kicking some ass, so I'm ready, so.
Awesome.
So. And I guess, of course, we'll have you'll have applications and stuff going out here after the first year again.
Yeah, we will. It's going to be tight getting in because we're pretty much to capacity on the team. I don't know if we'll lose anybody this year. I haven't talked to anybody yet. Well, I know we lost Freeman Brothers. They decided to go on to kind of do their own thing. But we're still sitting 50-some-odd teams, and I can't really logistically grow the team much bigger than that. So
sure.
It's going to be tight getting in, unfortunately, but that's just kind of the way it goes.
I mean, that's it. I'm proud of being part of it. I mean, and I don't know how the heck you do what you do with it, because I mean, what you say, 51 things, that's just good gosh. And, you know, that's huge, and that takes a lot of dedication to take care of a lot of that. And, I mean, you know, that's and, you know, like I said, this has been a nightmare. But, you know, that's something that, you know, I've been really, really amazed by is, you know, people get their stuff in. And, I mean, you know, you'll send us out an email and say, you know, hey, I'm going to be out of town, blah, blah, blah. You get it to me by midnight, and I'll take care of it. And you always have. I mean, you have never let us down on that end of it. And, I mean, that's just, you know, that's huge. And that says a lot about what you're doing out there. And, you know, we appreciate that very much.
Well, thank you. And I, as always, I appreciate what you guys do. I got the easy job, I think. I know what it takes to do what you guys do, and it's hard work.
Well, you know, I just like to drive down the road, it seems like, anymore. So, of course, we've ventured out a lot more this year, and, you know, we're hoping maybe to venture out a little bit more. I mean, you know, I've had, you know, invitations to cook, you know, as far south as Florida now, and, you know, it just, you know, it's tough. I mean, you know, you want to kind of do that kind of stuff, but, you know, dadgum. I mean,
yeah.
I'm going to have to have a rich uncle or something pass away or something that, you know, that could, you know, carry on a little bit more of my barbecue habit here.
It's an expensive habit. Yes, it is.
It's an expensive habit, and, you know, it's very time-consuming, and, you know, I've been very fortunate with the company I work for. I mean, they've been, you know, when I say I need to, you know, need off to go cook barbecue, you know, they're pretty good about it. So I've been pretty lucky in that. But, you know, it is. I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, you know, and I'm in an industry, you know, I'm in the heating and air conditioning industry and refrigeration industry. So, you know, there's times when, especially when barbecue is cook-off stuff are really going, you know, that's our busiest time of the year. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there's lots of times that, you know, I have to leave, you know, at 5 or 6 o'clock on Friday evening and, you know, sometimes drive 300 miles to get to a contest, and that's how we end up in, you know, things like Dallas and stuff at 1:30 in the morning. And, you know, I was actually that contest there, that's the first time I think I've ever been in a panic at a contest. We didn't get in there. I got the girls into a motel, and I pulled in, and the gates were locked. And some of my friends there had already saved me a spot, and so I had a spot right there next to a gate. And they said, well, we can't let you in until like 8 o'clock in the morning. I was like, 8 o'clock in the morning? That may be a problem, guys. I mean, I need to get to cooking. You know, I mean, I need to prep. And, you know, so there's no way. So I'm sitting in the parking lot, so I take my table, my generator, and the light, and I set it up in my spot. And I'm out there, and I'm trimming meat and getting things ready, and I'm sitting there. And so about 6:30 the next morning, I kind of wander around a little bit, and I see one of the head judges, and everything's good. And so he's like, well, we'll get you in. And then this other guy shows up and said, no. He said, it may be 9 o'clock before you get in. And
oh,
I was like,
9
o'clock is going to be a huge problem. I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I said, if that's the case, I said, I'm going to set up in your parking lot. He said, well, you can't be cooking out there. And I said, I'm going to have to be cooking. I said, I need to light a fire by about 7:30 or I'm going to have problems. And he's like, well, I just don't know. And this place is it's kind of like like a flea market is what it is, and it's huge. And DPS, the Texas State Troopers, they're kind of the security there. And so this old DPS guy, he walked up to me, he said, hey, what's the problem? I said, well, I'm just trying to get in. I said, I've got a space and everything right on an exit gate. You know, I just need to whip my trailer in there, unload it, and go do my deal. And so one of the guys like, no, well, we can't do that, can't do that. So old DPS officer grabbed me and said, hey, where you at? We got on a golf cart. We went over. He said, here. He said, let me unlock this gate. And so he unlocked the gate and got me in there, I mean, like at 7 o'clock in the morning. He said,
really?
Don't worry about them. He said, I'll take care of it. And I was like, oh, you don't know how much you just helped my butt out, because I was starting to get nervous. Because we were cooking pork loin, chicken, ribs. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, good Lord, I mean, our first turn-in was like at 11 or something. And I'm sitting there, I'm starting to get a little concerned. And man, that old man, he took care of me. I was like, you're a great guy. So, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, you get into those situations and, you know, thank goodness there's lots of people out there that, you know, help you out, do things, because it is tough sometimes. It's tough to get into some of these things and to travel and do what we do. And, I wouldn't trade it for the world, to be honest. I mean, you know, sometimes I get frustrated and I think, you know, well, I mean, you've seen a little bit of that when we were at the Royal. I mean, they were essentially kicking my what I was sleeping in out into a parking lot a mile away, and I'm sitting there thinking, thanks.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
so
on the cusp of getting ready to storm its butt off. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, you know, and you guys got to be kidding us. I mean, you're not going to let us have something in here to protect us. And, you know, we ended up actually, there was a guy that had a parking lot across from where we were at, opened it up, and bless his heart, charged us, I think, $40 a day or something to get in there. And I was like, well, you know, at this point, I don't have much choice. I guess I'm hostage on this deal. I guess,
yep,
I'll pay your $40. And, you know, it wasn't but about, you know, probably 400. I don't know. He probably wasn't that far. It was probably 200 yards for us to walk over there. And and we did. We ended up in the truck after that storm and everything. So it was good. But, no, it is. It is tough. But, I mean, you know, I didn't realize that you were making everything. So I guess you have a commercial place, or do you do it at home? Or
we have an area that we've set aside to do it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I didn't realize you were doing all that, you know, by yourself, by hand. And how many of them are you? Just you and your wife?
My wife and I. Yep. My kids help out,
oh,
putting stickers on the bags and stuff, but I make everything. My wife helps me package and helps me put in boxes and stuff, but I make everything.
So when you make a batch, I mean, is it, I mean, do you make like a 200-pound batch or?
No. We basically still blend to order. but our batch size is 30 pounds, 30 to 35, depending upon the rub. Some are a little heavier than others, but And we can obviously do double batches or whatever if we need the extra. But we never have any really laying around. It's always in use. And one of the things we do that's a little different than probably anybody else is I've learned after having been making rub for, you know, quite a while, you know, even longer than what we've been doing it commercially, I learned some things about how spices and volatile oils and things like that interact with one another. And believe it or not, a rub blend is a living, breathing thing, and it has a life cycle. And when you first make it, it doesn't really taste anything like it does after it's aged in a batch. So we've actually, and part of our production technique is to batch age our rubs for a specific period of time, much like you would a scotch or a bourbon or whatever. You know, we don't use wood casks, but similar type of thing where, you know, when you first blend it, the notes within the rub are real sharp. You can taste almost each individual component. But after a period of time, that starts to mellow out and all of the volatile oils start to combine. And to a very lesser degree, it can do that in a package. But just like whenever you mature whiskeys, the size of the container affects the maturation process. Because the more spices you have in the batch, the more total volatile oils there are that add to the overall, you know, potential of the rub, if you will.
Right.
And so we've found that the 30-pound size is just about perfect. I mean, it would happen to the same degree at a larger size, but that's manageable for us since we're basically a manual shop. That 30 to 40-pound size allows us to batch age our rubs for, like I said, that specific, you know, sort of proprietary period of time.
Sure.
And then that once that's taken place and we test the rubs and make sure that they're aged out properly, then that's when they actually go into the packaging. And so then that way you get a rub that's had the benefit of aging in the presence of a lot more rub. So it picks up on those volatile compounds will migrate through the batch. It's pretty interesting. They'll migrate into the sides of the food grade plastic containers, the airtight containers we use to store the rub in, and stain the sides, if you will. So, I mean, it's a living, breathing thing, basically. And just like that, I mean, it has a life cycle. So if you let it sit too long, then it ages too much. Even if it's airtight, it's still going to get – there's still going to be some oxygenation that will take place. Because if nothing else, there's still oxygen sealed within the canister.
Right.
Even if it was perfectly airtight, you know, you're still going to have a headspace in there. And there's still going to be air within the voids, you know, the microscopic voids within that column of rub. So you do get some oxidation that can't happen. But a little oxidation is fine, just like is actually desired. Just like how you let a red wine breathe or a scotch breathe, you know, you want a little bit of oxidation to take place. So we control all that. You know, our facility is temperature and humidity controlled. So we keep the humidity really low and the temperature low. So it's just the right temperature for this stuff to take place, sort of cellar temperature, if you will. And then once all that happens, then that's when it gets packaged. And so we'll have, you know, 30 to 60 pounds of finished rub sitting around of each kind that we'll pull from. And the reason we do that is because, you know, we're still a small shop. So even though we've made, you know, 30 or 13,000 pounds over the year, it's not been all at once. And so our turnover ratio is just about right. So that 30 pounds doesn't sit around for more than a couple days. So we always have stuff in rotation that's aging while that stuff is being used and just kind of keep that rotation going.
Well, you know, I've never thought about that, man. You're exactly right about that, though, because, I mean, you know, I said I've got a buddy that has a barbecue shop here, and, you know, he makes all of his own rubs and stuff. And you're absolutely right, I mean, about, you know, it soaking into the containers and stuff like that and the different levels of, you know, how long it has set or, you know, whatever, because of the oils and stuff. And I really, you know, you don't you take a lot of that for granted. You don't think about a lot of that. You know, even us out here, you know, we don't think a lot about it on that end of it. And, you know, we get the product and, you know, of course, you know, we go through it quite a, you know, as much as I cook and stuff, I mean, we go through it pretty, you know, pretty quickly. So, you know, we don't notice a lot of difference unless it, you know, got to where it was sitting in the sun or something like that, you know, for, you know, a period of time. I mean, you can always tell, you know, on something like that if it's been in a lot of heat or something like that, you know, it breaks it down and the oils and stuff do change. But, I mean, you know, it seemed like the quality of the spices and stuff and the levels of oils and stuff, and that's something that, you know, my wife... We had this conversation just yesterday, matter of fact, we was down at my in-laws, and they were talking about buying all their spices at Dollar General or the Dollar Tree or whatever the hell it is. And I was sitting there, and I was kind of laughing about it, and I was like, well, you know, there's different, you know, levels of, you know, spices and stuff. I'm like, oh, there is not either. And I was like, there are. I said, why do you think that we do what we do? I mean, even when, you know, when I'm catering and stuff, I mean, I mix a lot of my own stuff, and then, I mean, of course, you know, I mean, I've got a little rib rub out there that, you know, I sell a little bit of it. And, I mean, I said, I use specific spices for that, you know, certain brands, I mean, no different than you, and, you know, at their qualities and stuff because of the oils and stuff. And, you know, they look at me like, you know, you're crazy, like, well, you know, we can buy these cheap spices over here, it's like they're not the same. And they're like, well, you're just nuts. I was like, so? You guys, and it's the same thing, you know, with the mentality and kind of what we're talking about here, even in the end of these degrees. It's like steaks and stuff like that. You know, the average person that walk into the supermarket and stuff like that, they look for the cheapest ribeye or whatever. They see that it's a ribeye, and they think, okay, well, you know, just because it's a ribeye, that's a good cut of meat. So it's naturally going to be more tender and blah, blah, blah. They don't look at the marbling or anything else. I mean, they just go in there, they see that, and say, oh, it's a ribeye. You know, let's say that's a great cut of meat, you know, and blah. And, I mean, hell, it may have come off of, you know, some old tough Bramer bull, you know. And, you know, they don't realize that there are different levels of quality in those things, even, you know, with meat or spices or rubs or whatever. There's different degrees there. And,
yep, there's,
you know,
there's definitely different grades.
Yeah, and that's the problem with, you know, with the average consumer, you know, perception is like, well, man, I mean, that stuff is just so expensive. Well, you know, There's a reason why it is, because you're using better spices and, you know, this whole process and stuff that you do. I mean, there's a lot of labor and stuff involved in that, and so you get a lot better product. But to a lot of people, they don't realize that. I mean, they say it is like, well, you know, that's a brisket rub or that's a chicken rub or, you know, whatever. And, you know, my follow told me, when this all started was that, you know, one of his buddies slowly did some cook-off stuff, and I think he did. He was an older guy. And, you know, he bought this soul seasoning from some, you know, no brand, no name department store or whatever, and he said, that's what we use, and that's what we always put on briskets. And, you know, he's telling me, he said, well, this is what you need to use. This is what you need to use. You know, and this is back when we were struggling with brisket. I was like, and so he showed me a bottle of it one time. It was called Soul Seasoning or something. I was like, so you know how many bottles that stuff I'd go through? I mean, it's kind of like a little, you know, little store container that you'd use. And I was like, good Lord. And I tasted it, and all it was salt.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, and that's what the other side of this is. I mean, just what we were talking about earlier, too. You know, that's what most of these seasonings are. To me, most of them are just seasoned salt. You know, they might have a little bit of chili powder or something like that in them, but, you know, they're pretty simple seasoning salts. I mean, they're variations of Lowry's. And, you know, not to say that, you know, that's always a bad thing, but, I mean, there's so many of them out there that taste the same. I mean, you taste it and you think, well, hell, that's just seasoned salt with little chili powder to it, or, you know, a little more black pepper, or, you know, something or another. And, I mean, there's a lot of that out there, too.
There are people out there that don't appreciate the finer things, I suppose, if you want to call it that. And then there are people that are. You know, when we first started, when I first kind of even came up with the idea, I was sold out, dead set on the idea that if I was going to do something, I was going to do it 100% right and not ever cut any corners. And if that moved us into a premium brand, then better, all the better. Just like you'll never hear, you know, Mercedes-Benz apologize for their prices, you know. The rub manufacturers like myself that are in the top tier, because I would bet any money I have against anybody else to say that our rubs are not top tier, top quality, and we're not alone. I'm not going to say we're alone in that. There are others out there that are used as equally high a grade of spices as we do, and that's awesome. And I'm glad that I'm not alone in that way. But I don't ever apologize for the prices we charge, and I don't think they're way out of spec. You know, we're
absolutely
a few percent higher than the majority of them out there. But what you get for that extra, that return on your investment, if you will, is far greater than what a lot of them will give you. And so I basically set out from the beginning to never cut any corners and never equivocate and never really apologize for the quality that we built into our products. I mean, we have countless hours on end researching and sampling spices from, you'd be amazed at the number of spice vendors that are out there. And if they can't give me a MDS sheet on the spices that has the volatile oil, I can't remember the name of it. There's actually a scientific process they go through to validate what the volatile oil contents are and things like that. If they can't give me that, then I don't do business with them. And likewise, if there's a lot of spice vendors out there that include anti-caking agents like silica gel or other things like that in their spices. Just, you know, where you think you're getting ancho chili powder, well, you're not just getting that. You're getting that plus silica gel. You'd be amazed how hard it is to try to find good spices that don't have that crap in it. And there's a lot of co-packers out there that are making rubs for people that are not that conscientious about where they get their spices. And so we have always really tried to set the bar as high as we can for us, so we maintain that high quality. And our rubs, well, they do have salt in them. The salt is managed in such a way that it's never too much. I'm not a salt eater myself. I don't put salt on really anything. I don't mind if a seasoning has salt in it, but I don't want it to be mostly salt.
Absolutely.
So,
I agree.
I've always tried to make sure that our rubs are real balanced and that they have just enough salt to carry the flavor. But not too much. And if people want it to be saltier, I don't have any problem. I don't take it personally one bit if they add a little salt to it. It's a lot easier, much easier, to add salt than it is to take it away.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct.
So that's how we've always done it. And I fully highly recommend anybody that's doing competition barbecue, if you're new at it or if you've been doing it a while. But if you don't have a sea salt grinder on your prep table that you can set to an ultra fine grind, so you get just a flour type, you know, just a really fine powder out of it.
Yeah.
And you're not tasting your entries before you put them in the box. And if they need it, you dust them with just a little bit of that ultra fine ground sea salt. You need to be doing that, because sometimes, you know, it just depends. If it could be, you know, you could, you might not put enough rub on there, or you might put the right amount, but sometimes through the cooking process, some of it sweats off or whatever. There are things that happen in the cooking process that will or can alter the ratio of salt to the other spices.
Even just the marbling of the meat, I mean, depending on how much fat content, something like that, I mean, it's going to allow how much it's going to actually get down into the, into it, and as it breaks down, I mean, it will change it right there too.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's absolutely right.
So you know, always taste it before you put it in the box, and if it needs, and before you sauce it, and if it needs a little bit, then by all means, dust it with just a little bit of salt, and then see where you're at. Because sometimes that makes the difference, just a little extra salt. You don't need MSG. I'm not a proponent at all of using the MSG on or in anything. I'm okay. I mean, if people want to do it, that's fine. That's their thing. I don't have anything against them at all. I just personally, you know, I've tasted, I don't make it a huge habit to go around and taste everybody's rub. Number one, I don't ever want to be accused of trying to copy somebody. And number two, I'm pretty much, I got my head down so much doing my own thing, I just don't have time to go around and taste everybody else's, quite frankly.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, that's exactly right. I mean,
there have been times that I have tasted some folks' stuff, and I could tell instantly that it had MSG in it. And I don't care for that, what it adds to it. It's almost too much. It really is like you got your speakers on full blast. And as you can tell, like from Secret Weapon and Game Bird and Chicken and some of our other rubs, I mean, we like to dabble in that real subtle, nuanced flavor profile, and I don't like it punching me in the face necessarily.
No, I mean, and that's where, you know, and that's one thing I really like about it is because, I mean, it don't, because I'm not much of a salt person now. I'm more of a pepper person, always have been, and so to a fault of mine, just kind of what you said, I mean, you know, a lot of times I don't get enough salt or something on it, you know, it's perfect for me, but for, you know, other people out there, it's not, and so, you know, just kind of what you said, I mean, you know, I may doctor up the algae a little bit, you know, when I'm doing that, and that gives me sometimes my salt content that I need to, you know, bring it up, you know, another step, you know, for it, because I'm very much, and I think that was some of my faults in the beginning in brisket-wise is because I didn't have enough of it in there. And, you know, salt can be a very good flavor enhancer if it's, you know, used, you know, the way it should be used, I guess is
right.
What I'm going to say about that. Now, I had a question from Philip on this. He asked me about, is it true keeping rubs in the fridge will last longer? I've always said yes, but, okay, no.
No,
yeah,
and here's here's why. Number one, if you're using an Oak Ridge product, the multi-layer high barrier packaging we use is really the best in the industry as far as keeping stuff fresh. So what a lot of people don't realize is a standard cylinder-shaped, rigid-sided rub canister, unless it's the really rigid, ultra-clear plastic. But most of them aren't that. Most of them are the sort of milky, softer plastic. That plastic, by its nature, will actually migrate oxygen through the sidewalls without much effort. So it breathes, you know, enough to affect the rub, the spices that are in there, just sitting in your cabinet, even if it's never been opened. And on top of that, the foil seal on top really isn't necessarily a freshness seal as much as it is a tamper-resistant seal.
Absolutely.
There are some barrier properties, especially if they are not just a paper, if they're foil-lined, then you do get some barrier properties from that. But you still have the adhesive that it will leak oxygen through that. I mean, you're only talking about molecules here, so it doesn't take a whole lot. And oxygen molecules are very small. So, you know, just like Gore-Tex, it'll bead water, but it'll breathe oxygen. So, I mean, a water molecule is, I don't forget what the numerical equivalent is, but it's some number of times bigger than an oxygen molecule. So you know, your standard rub packaging anyway will breathe oxygen. Our barrier packaging doesn't. The zipper will breathe a little bit once it's been opened, but it's still much less prone to breathing oxygen than a rub bottle that's been tightly capped. Okay, so your issue with the fridge is two things. A fridge is oftentimes a pretty moist or humid environment, so you've got moisture issues to worry about. And two, you still have the oxidation because of the packaging. And oftentimes, if you're taking the rub out of the fridge and into the in and out, and go sit on the counter and it warms it up and you cool it back down, there are mechanical things that can happen with those volatile oils whenever they go through that heat-cold cycle. So it's not the best thing to do to store rub in the fridge. What's best is to just keep it out of the direct sunlight and keep it at a constant cool temperature. So you don't want it on the top shelf of your cabinet. You don't want it in an area where it gets too hot. You want it stored next to your fireplace. You want it somewhere where it's cool. You know, honestly, if you've got a basement, the best place to keep spices is in your basement because it stays at a constant temperature year-round. The humidity level's low, and it's dark. So regardless of whether you got a rub bottle or flexible packaging like we use, you're going to have the best storage in a cellar-type environment versus a fridge or even the cabinet.
Okay. Well,
fridge thing, plus, I have actually played around with it just to see, and you'll get clumping in the fridge if it doesn't have anti-caking agents in it. And that's predominantly because of the extra moisture that's in the fridge. And another thing, too, to consider is what do you put in your fridge to keep it from making everything stink? Well, you put a thing of baking soda in there. Why is that? Well, that's because whenever you put your fish you made the night before or your shrimp or your garlicky mashed potatoes or whatever.
You want to get rid of the odor.
Makes everything in the fridge taste like that. So when you got something in there that you don't want to have it pick up extra flavors from the fridge, you don't really want to store it in the fridge. That's the other thing.
There you go. That's a good point right there. You know, I really hadn't thought about that. I mean, because, you know, I don't do it a lot, but, I mean, I have, you know, over the years, you know, from time to time, you know, stored things, you know, in the refrigerator. I mean, just because, I mean, you know, we've all, you know, had that perception at some point, you know, because, you know, it's cool, it's a dark environment, you know, blah, 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 you know.
Yep.
So, you know, that's kind of good to know, you know. Of course, you know, it's like keeping your vodka up in the freezer, you know. That always works well, too.
So the best thing for any spices, even if it doesn't matter with barbecue rubs or whatever, any spice is best kept in that cool cellar type environment.
Cool.
So if you don't have that, you know, the best thing would be the bottom shelf of your cabinet, away from sunlight, away from heat, away from direct, you know, direct sunlight. So yeah, that type of thing.
See, that's good information. See, you know, I'm glad you called in tonight because, I mean, it's been good. And I really didn't have anything planned tonight, and I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but I was like, hell, I'll get someone to call in.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad I called in. I tell you, I do need to probably get running, but it has been an awesome time talking to you, Lance, as it always is, so I appreciate it.
Well, hey, like I said, anytime that you're around and you got time, I mean, you're more welcome to call in. And like I said, we need to do more of this, I mean, because you've got such a wealth of information on rubs and products on that end of it. That, I mean, you know, I was just looking. We've got about, you know, 23, 24 people, you know, just listening. And that's not counting the archives that we'll have, you know, come in the next, you know, few weeks. So, you know, there's always a lot of people out there listening and learning. And, I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, that's kind of where we're at. We want, you know, people to, you know, learn some things. And, I mean, you know, you've got some good products out there, some great products out there, and, you know, like I said, you're just a wealth of information on that end of it, and, I mean, you know, there's not many of them. You know, I've listened to a lot of other interviews and things like that with other rub people and stuff out there, and you're so much more in depth into what's going on in the processes and stuff like that than anybody else out there that I know. And you know, that just that's just amazing that you know, and it shows passion, but it also shows dedication to that you've gone out there, you've done the research, you've done the work, you've done the things necessary to make it successful. And, you know, I mean, there are, you know, like we talked about, I mean, there's other people out there that are successful in doing it, but I don't think that they've gone through it to the degree that you have gone through it. I mean, you're like me in certain degrees that, you know, you may be considered obsessive with some things.
I've been accused of that a time or two.
I understand that 100% because I get accused of that around here. So, you know, and there's nothing, I mean, it's like anything with a craft, I mean, that you do. I mean, you've got to know all those kind of things. And, I mean, in to study it and to learn, you know, a craft or trade or whatever. I mean, that's what makes you successful in those kind of things. And so, you know, that's something that, it takes a different level of dedication and skill set on that end of it. And so, I mean, hell, you've gone there, you've done it. And I mean, that's why there's 50 of us out here that you're sponsoring, and we're successful doing it, is because you've taken a lot of the thinking out of the process for us and come up with something that's already a great product, and we can go out there and we can compete. You know, we play with it and we tinker with it and we do, you know, some minor things. But, I mean, hell, you've done the majority of the work already for us. So, you know, we get to go out and do what we love now, and we've got some hellacious products out there that we can use to do it. And so,
well, I appreciate
hell, that's
that.
A great thing. Well, I mean, it's just the way it is. I mean, and so, and like I said, I will give you a call Tuesday or Wednesday, probably Wednesday, to be honest with you, because actually there's some papers you may have to sign that comes along with this, but I think it might be good for you.
I don't know. Signing papers always making me nervous. Now you got me wondering.
Yeah, well, you
let
know.
Let me know if I need to get the lawyer fired up before you call. Give me a warning shot or something.
I think you'll be okay on that end of it. But, you know, we've kind of gotten into a deal, and you and I didn't get to talk much about it when we were at the Royal. It was, as a matter of fact, I think you had already left when we got the final answer on it. So we got some things going, and if I can put some of your stuff out there and on that end of it, I would love to do it. So, like I said, we'll talk this week about it. And I appreciate you coming on. We had a great time, and you're more than welcome to come in anytime. You just holler, and we'll do it. And because I guarantee you, there's people in the chat room tonight. I've been running between the chat room, Facebook, and everything else tonight, trying to answer questions and stuff that you've been hitting on. And it's been an active night in this. So you've done very well. So
well, good deal. Had a good time as always.
Okay. Okay, man. Well, I appreciate it, and you have a good evening, and we'll talk here in the next couple of days.
All right. Sounds good. Talk soon. Bye.
Thanks. All right, guys. Well, that was Michael Trump of the Oak Ridge Barbecue himself. We talked a little bit about Russ and stuff like that tonight, and had a great time. And we still got a little bit of time left, so... You know, any of you guys that are sitting out there and sitting on the fence all night, you want to call in, let's call in. Let's finish this up strong, and have a good night. The number to call is 347-202-0263. And we've got about 10 minutes left. So while someone call in, let's talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about what we just talked about with Mr. Trump, and see what other people think. I mean, because, like I said, he is a wealth of information when it comes to Russ and stuff, and, I mean, you can see why we're so excited about being teamed up with him and, you know, cooking on his team. I mean, it's it's been an honor all year to do that, and he's great. So, all right, well, I think we've got Mr. Chadwick. I think he's going to finally call in, so let's see if we can get him in. Is that you, Chadwick?
Lance Moore, how's it going tonight?
Well, it's going pretty good. You know, I've just been kind of shooting off the hip all night and had a, just had a Michael Trump in with Oak Ridge Barbecue. He called in. I was kind of surprised. I really didn't have anything going tonight. He called in. We've been talking for the last 2 hours about rugs.
Wonderful.
And
I have to go back. I'll have to
go back and listen
to that. And archives, I've been wide open all day on the road down the interstate all day and finally got in and daughters come out and had to cook a supper for them girls, you know, and before they go back to
college. Me all you were doing was eating oysters.
Well, no, you know what? I've just had to, those were mine. The oysters on the hash shell were mine. I'm telling you. That's about all I had for supper is a few oysters. You can't beat an oyster on a half shell with a little hot sauce and lemon and a good cold beer.
Yes, sir. Well, I've had the adult beverage part of it tonight.
Not you, surely not.
You know, but, you know, I just got guys, you know, I've been running through Facebook, chat room, and this all night. And I just had a guy text me. He said that he's bashful. And I said, hell, there ain't anybody more bashful than me, to be honest.
I'm telling you. Well, the only one more bashful than you would be me. You know, I'm pretty shy. So,
that's what people don't, you know, Kendrick, that's what a lot of people don't know about me. And you kind of brought me out of my box a little bit because I never have. I mean, if I know somebody or, you know, we're in kind of a group or something like that, you know, of friends, I'm okay. But I'm not a person to go out and, like, you know, give a speech, you know, to a bunch of damn people I don't know. I mean, I'm not that way. I've always been shy. I mean, I'll be honest
with you.
I mean, I can function in the groups and stuff. Hell, the first time I did this damn show by myself, I thought, hell, I was going to shit my damn britches before it was all over with. Cause, I mean, it kind of was like, hell, I got to talk to my damn self. I talk to myself for about 5 minutes, and then I'm done.
I hear you. I understand.
You know? And
that's
so,
where...
go ahead.
I was going to say, that's where we just need to keep encouraging all of our friends, our Facebook friends, to share a post. Just call in for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. They don't have to call in for 2 hours. Just be part of the show and tell us what's going on. It makes it a lot easier.
Absolutely.
It makes it a lot easier, and it gets more exposure, especially exposure to them. And I keep working that, and I've done this over a year. And I'm not a professional by any means, but I enjoy doing it. And I enjoy getting callers in because, you know, I don't schedule shows. I really want to talk to my callers. And,
right.
You know, if you don't get any callers, then you're going to have a heck of a show.
You already told yourself a damn lot.
That's right. And you know, it happens. It happens to the best of us. It can happen to any of us. And it's hard to sit. I know it's hard to sit down and talk. That's what we say. You don't have to call in for an hour or 2 hours. Call in for 10 or 15 minutes. It makes it a lot. It just helps. It helps the whole mood and the whole vibe of the show. So anybody that's called
exactly
in, we greatly appreciate them calling in. You know that. And
absolutely.
And
no,
and
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, hell, I mean, the last 2 weeks, I've been so damn busy. I mean, just like you. I really hadn't had time to plan anything, and, you know, it's just been kind of last-minute stuff. I mean, I kind of hit Moyers up, you know, 30 minutes before we were going live that night, and just so happened he could do it, and, that was a good one. But, you know, that's it. I mean, you know, hell, I had to take speech and shit in college, and I did it. Actually, I did my speech class online. And so, I mean, I just had to sit at home and talk to a damn camera. And I about died. You thought that, hell, I mean, you just killed my ass because, I mean, I've never have taken so many damn clips in my damn entire life. I had to talk, I only had to talk like 3 to 5 minutes. And hell, I mean, I think it probably took me 2 days to get 3 to 5 minutes of something to talk about.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I was by my damn self. And so, you know, when you started your show and you put it out there, and I caught it one night, and, you know, I'd had enough of those mountains. I called in, and hell, I was nervous as shit. But,
you know,
no, it's not. I mean, but, you know, in the settings that we're at, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's a laid-back setting. I mean, you know, hell, you're from Tennessee, I'm from Texas. I mean, we're just good old country boys. And so, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's no pressure. I mean, you know, it's just like talking to somebody on the phone. You know, that's a great thing. And, you know, hell, we may have actually gotten a call. Hey, we got another one in. We got another Tennessee guy in here. I'm going to log him in here real quick before we quit. This is Philip Childery. I don't know if
you
talk to you much.
I know. Philip. Get Philip in here.
All right, here he comes. All right, Philip, you're live, buddy.
What's going on, guys?
What's happening, Philip?
I knew I could con you into this deal.
Chris hadn't been able to.
Hell, I made headway, see? I mean, hey, you know, he got me involved in this. So, I mean, you know, hey, he's kind of, you know, we kind of call him the granddaddy of this deal now.
Hey, Chris could sell anything to anybody. He's got that personality.
He does. Hell, I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, he's the one who brought me into this deal. And you know, I'll never forget the night that I was sitting around and Daryl said, hell, we need a Texas show. And I was like, well, you know, we'll talk about it next week. The next thing I know, he's giving me passports and shit. He's like, well, good, you're on Sunday night. And I was like, do what? Oh, okay. Because I'd been drinking beer. And I was like, hell yeah, we'll do this. And I wake up like that. I'm thinking, what the hell did I get myself into last night? I had to go back and look at the damn message.
Bad,
I was going, no, it's not. I mean, hell, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed the hell out of it. And I mean, if you've seen anything out of anything or any show that I've done, is you've got to go watch the show with Frank Cox, Lance Moore, and Jason on it at the American Royal. Because, hell, we had a hell of a time.
Yeah, I've seen
that
part of that, or listened to part of it, you know. And Frank is something else.
Oh, man, we had a hell of a time that night, you know.
I listen in on Chris's show just about every week. Try to. I may not get to every week, but try to every week. And I try to listen on yours, but a lot of times I'm just pretty busy.
I understand that. I mean, that's where we all are, and, I mean, it is tough sometimes. I mean, to, you know, it's like Chadwick and I mean, we've always tried to, you know, call into each other's shows and you know, do what we can on that end of it because, I mean, hell, you know, Chris has always supported me and I've always tried to support Chris and all the other ones too. But, I mean, you know, we've always done a lot together and, you know, that's, you know, I try to, you know, at least get into one of them, you know, every week. And it's tough sometimes. I mean, just what you said. I mean, you know, so much going on. Everybody's got families, so I got to do things. It's just tough. And, I mean, hell, I mean, you know, then you got Chadwick over there cooking, you know, 400 damn turkeys, you know, in 24 hours. You know, some of them take a few more hours.
Hey, I've got turkeys, hams. I've been cooking most of the – I took off actually Wednesday. I cooked Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday also, so I cooked 3 days.
You've been busy then, had you?
Man,
I stayed.
I cook for a lot of people all the time, because it's just my God-given talent. And got a message this morning, and I entered in, bought some raffle tickets to telling you about the cooker that I bought, Chris, the from Humphrey's Barbecue.
Right, right.
The smoker that's water smoker. Well, I got in a raffle, and they did one for the American Cancer Society, and I bought five tickets for $50.
Right.
Well, I got a notification this morning. I want it.
Wonderful.
I'll be damned. Congrats.
That's right.
I want it. I sure did. I just
blown me away. You were saying, Diva Q, you just won some Dizzy Pig?
Yeah, I just got on. I was listening to your show there, and I missed you, sir, and told you it's a great show so far. That it wasn't 2 minutes. She messaged me and said she needed my address and stuff where she could. I'd entered in some stuff there from on her deal there, and I won some 4-pack of Dizzy Pig stuff. And so, hey, I've been on a roll today.
That's awesome.
I need to get her down here. We need to do a barbecue crawl down here in my part of the world. I need to get her down here, and I guess I'm just going to have to. I guess I'm just going to bring her on, and see if I can't bring her to West Texas. And her and I.
Well, you know, she had she was close somewhere, and Chris Jones and Robert Sierra was on her show with her one.
Yeah, they were in Austin.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Is a long way from West Texas, you know.
Right,
Chris is in Midland, and he went down there. And, of course, he's kind of gotten to know them because, see, Chris Jones is on the board of the National Barbecue Association. And so that's kind of how he's kind of gotten to know some of them people, because he's on the board down there.
Right,
and,
right.
I didn't realize he was on the board. I didn't know exactly, you know, I knew he was always going to those conferences and stuff. And, I didn't realize that, but he was telling me here a while back he was on the board, and I thought, well, okay, well, he's gotten to meet some of those people that way. You know, it's like us. I mean, you know, it's like, you going to the Jack, me going to the Royal, stuff like that. You know, you meet them people, and you kind of, you know, do those kind of things, and, you know,
I mean,
that's what it's all about. That's why we, that's part of this connecting. I mean, that's a
networking. Well, that's right. It is. It is. You just get out and you shake hands and you meet people, and you either connect or you don't, you know. And in barbecue, most of the time, you're going to connect, you know. I mean, it's just a bunch of good people, and it just makes it that much easier to connect, because when you've got all the good people, you're around good people, you feel good, good things are happening, and it's just the best feeling there is, and that's just what it is. And I've met a ton of wonderful friends, made a ton of wonderful friends through barbecue. And I mean, and it's just started. It's not even began really strong yet. I mean, wait, just can you imagine another two or three years?
I mean, I can't imagine. Yeah. Think about that. I mean, hell, it's like, you know, Facebook. I mean, Facebook. You know, a lot of people criticize it. I mean, there's things I don't like about it. But, you know, I'll say this for us barbecue people, that's a hell of a damn network right there. Hell of a network.
It is. It's really a good thing.
It's just getting bigger and bigger daily.
Barbecue, this sport is just grown and growing and growing and growing. It's just huge. And we're basically on the—I don't want to say the ground floor, because we're just coming into what, you know, some people have been doing. But you know, my first bring home souvenir from a cook was 1986.
Wow.
And you know, I was still in school, but I wanted to barbecue, so we made our own team, you know, We barbecued, and that was one of my first real cooks, you know. Didn't know anything, but had a great time. And we weren't even old enough to drink yet, but we were drinking beer and cooking and grilling and barbecuing. We were having a ball. So I knew.
I knew
that.
You know, I told you that I think it was, what was it? Someone asked me about that here a while back, you know, when, can't say what it was, but I got asked that the other day, you know, how long I've been barbecuing and stuff. And, I mean, just what you said there, Chadwick, I mean, you know, being from New Mexico, you know, barbecue is a little different where we come from, but we always cooked a lot of stuff in the ground and stuff. And one of the things that always got cooked around where I was at was goats. And I'll never forget, I was 16 years old. We had a friend that was going to have a birthday. And, I, of course, I lived out in the middle of nowhere. That's, you know, pretty much I do now. But they wanted to cook and drink beer. And so, you know, we had a kind of a big place. And so I dug a hole in the ground. And in an ag shop, I built a grate and everything to put in the ground. And then we butchered a goat. And, you know, of course, I grew up hunting and stuff. So, I mean, you know, butchering stuff wasn't a big deal to me. And we butchered a goat, and we put that bad boy in the ground. I probably skipped school that day, to be honest with you. Put that bad boy in the ground. We cooked it, had a keg of beer. And I'll never forget, we were all sitting around there like cavemen. I had probably about 200 people out there partying when the sheriff's department showed up. And, I mean, people scattered like you would not believe. And, of course, I didn't have any place to go. I mean, hell, I lived there. I mean, that was kind of a no-brainer. And when it was all said and done, them old sheriff boys, they were sitting there, and they were eating barbecue with us.
Yeah,
they were sitting
that's
there
how it
next to a damn bonfire. It was like, pretty damn good, boys. Like, well, hell, there you go, buddy. We're going to take
the
beer home.
What about you? What about that? No, what about you, Philip? When was the first time you really thought about wanting to cook?
Oh, man, I've been cooking most of my life.
Really?
I am. I've been cooking for, oh, man, I grew up cooking. I mean, it was just part of it.
Oh, I hear you. Me too.
Part of it. You know, I'm from there in New Bern, Tennessee, and a lot of older black gentlemen that barbecued a lot, my dad and granddad, you know, they love barbecue and stuff, and we just barbecued all the time. You know, it's just
right. Part
of growing up. You know, but as far as really barbecuing like this, as far as competition, I've been doing competition off and on for pretty much like 9 years. You know.
Yeah.
But in the last 5 years, I've been, you know, hot heavy. You know, I've been
right.
I did 17 events this year.
Man, that's just great. That's great you get to go and do that many. Another one coming up next, well, this month, actually.
This coming weekend,
the polar bear, yeah.
This weekend,
are you going to do that?
No, I'm pretty much down for the year. I'm pretty much, I got all my stuff tore apart, which I had, which you know, I bought a pellet cooker a few weeks ago.
Right.
Bought a pellet cooker a few weeks
ago.
How do you like
yours? I mean, I like mine. I like it.
Hey, I'm gonna tell you. You know, Chris, I've been cooking on rotisserie for several years, and some other cooker backwoods. I love my backwoods. I love my water smokers. They're excellent cookers. And now I've got a couple of Humphreys, and I got a couple of Cones. I only got like 14 cookers, so you know, I'm cooker poor.
You're cooker poor.
and just like I said, just want another one today, and I have to pay for the shipping to get it here. But hey, it's powder coated. He builds a heck of a cooker. But the Green Mountain is a good product. I like the heaviness of it. It's not lightweight. It's heavy built. The metal's good and thick. It holds its heat. I don't care what you do with it. So far, I've cooked some money muscle on it. I've cooked hamburgers. I've cooked. It's an excellent chicken cooker. I've been researching and looking for quite a while now, and I was talking to Big B there, you know, down in Bolivar.
Yep.
I was picking
yep.
his brain a little bit on his, got an opportunity to jump on the wagon, so I jumped on the wagon.
Right.
I say, If I don't like it, I can always sell it. But I really don't ever sell cookers. I just keep stacking them up. You know, I got a 50 by 30 shop. It's full. It's a good cooker. I really like it. I really like it a lot.
Yeah, you can. It is. You're right. It is a good chicken. It's a good chicken. I mean, it just works well. I mean, that's what I finish my chicken on most of the time, and it just really. Well, I like mine, you know, and mine got dumped out of a back of a trailer and onto the road, and it's still, you know, it's still pretty tough. I mean, it's well built. So
well, that's like my Humphreys cooker. You know, I didn't bring it out this year at all. I just my two competition rigs aren't set up for them, and I also have to rig up some stuff, and I don't like to do that. I just but you know, I travel motor home, and
we
set up to cook and 30, 45 minutes at the most, you know.
Yeah.
I've done it. You know, I've got everything. Lord's blessed me where I could be able to do things like what I do it, the way I do
right.
it.
Right.
And it's, I won't bring nothing out until it's perfected. And that's, you know, I've cooked on it, because it's a lot smaller cooker than the party model that I've been using. And,
right.
So I, you know, perfected working on that with some butts and whatever, and I can take whole 250 degrees for 12 hours on about 8 pounds of charcoal.
That's worth it, yeah.
And that's just—I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's an excellent cooker. Humphreys, Chad Humphreys up in Maine. Check him out on Facebook, Barbecue Specialist. He got a great product. Great product. Can't say enough about it, you know. And the one I want today.
That's Barbecue Specialist?
Yes, Barbecue Specialist. Okay. I think I sent it to you.
Okay.
BBQ Specialist. But it's Humphrey's main source. It's up in Maine.
All right.
And he actually got into this refurbing cookers for people. So how he got into it.
I remember you telling me that. Sure do.
Yeah.
Lance, now, have you ever seen Lance's? Lance, do you post me pictures of your cooker?
Yeah, I've seen his baby. Nothing like a guru, is it, Bubba?
Well, you should have seen it when it's full of flank steak and chickens and peppers and onions and the middle of the night cooking stuff for fajitas. I'm telling you, it was extra fine that night, wasn't it, Lance?
Yes, sir. I don't care for onions or peppers. Not at all.
I'm telling you, these right here were mighty fine. And what else did you have on that? Chicken
we had some chicken, we had pork, we had beef, and I guess that's it. I guess we had three different types of fajitas.
It was all
cooked on a offset, just back there on the heat side of it. I mean, I cranked that bad boy up, let the guru run, and, you know, hell, that guru makes a hell of a damn difference. So,
couldn't do without it, could you, Bo?
Well, I could, but, you know, I damn sure don't want to.
It's a lot more work.
Hey, I told a guy a few weeks ago, about 4 weeks ago, my last cook I'd done, I said, hey, you know, something about my motor home, I'd be looking for another before dark. Because I just don't believe I could do it without it now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, and that's people. I mean, you know, I've had a lot of people, you know, over this show contact me about cooking with an offset and a guru. Because, you know, I thought that hell that was pretty common. And I'm coming to find out that there's not many guys out there that has been using a guru with an offset. And I'm here to tell you, it makes a hell of a damn difference. Yeah.
They just don't think a little fan can do what it does, but it doesn't take a lot. I got a friend of mine that's got a rig that looks almost identical to your cooker. And I told him, he said, well, I did this. I said, it's going to take 2 25s to blow that cooker. He said, I don't see why it's got to take so much. I said, man, you got a lot of steel there to get hot and keep hot. I said, his pit's probably a little bit, his barrel's probably a little bit longer than yours, not much, but... I said, you go. It's gonna take 225s to keep. He said, well, I can keep it about 225, but that's hot as I can get. And it just the fan runs all the time. I said, you don't have enough fan.
Yeah, you can't get it hot. Yeah, now see, two things that I do. Of course, I don't have. I don't run but one fan on mine, and I mean I've got a 6 foot. Mine's a 6 foot heat chamber, and then my box is about 24 by 14, and so it's not as big as most of them. I mean, Chadwick can tell you about that. But here's what I have found, and this is where when I light my fire, I use a propane weed burner. And so what I do is I open up. I've got another big airport. I open up that airport and I shove that weed burner up in there, and I crank that damn thing up and I let it run for about 20 minutes, getting my wood going. And in 20 minutes, my pit will be sitting at about 300 degrees.
Right.
Okay. And then I pull that bad boy out and I turn my fan on. And then I have a 30-degree differential sitting on my fan, or deviation, I think is how they've got it labeled. I have a 30-degree deviation. I run mine at about 275, and, I mean, that damn thing will hold it. I mean, it'll run it the rest of the time. But, like I said, I mean, part of that is me using that weed burner. I get it pretty hot, you know, in the very beginning.
Yeah. So this guy here, his heat chamber – it is like 28 by 28 square box.
Really,
it's huge. And his cooking chamber and all. So it's about seven, probably 7.5 foot long. It's a big cooker.
Right.
It's a hoss.
He's 7.5. He's about another foot and a half longer than me. And then, of course, I'm about 32 inches in diameter.
About the same size round, but he's a little bit longer than you. I've seen your cooker on your some pictures and stuff, and his is a little bit bigger. And then see his firebox is, and I told him, put some fire brick in it, you know, line it up with fire brick. And he hadn't done it. He's old school. He just will not trust it. And I got my cooking partner. He would not trust the guru for a long time. He said he kept waking up. I said, "Man, go to sleep. It'll run, man."
And to be honest with you, I mean, you know, when I'm at a competition, I mean, it is a big thing, but it's not a big thing. I mean, you know, when I went to the guru, my big deal was that, you know, I do a lot of cooking during the week for people. I mean, just kind of like what you're talking about earlier. I mean, I was cooking for people. I was working all day, and then I'd come home at night, and, I mean, I'd throw on two or three briskets, you know. And, you know, hell, I was staying up all night, you know, every hour and a half I was out here and throw some wood on it and monitor it. And, you know, of course, here in West Texas, I mean, hell, we get pretty damn cold. I mean, hell, we're in the 20s right now. And so, you know, I thought, hell, you know, I wonder if that damn thing would make that much difference. Well, the first time I used it, I got about 3 hours worth of sleep, and I was like, huh. Hell, I only sleep about 4 or 5 hours to begin with, so I was like, this is huge. And, you know, you know, and the other thing I learned about it was that, you know, in the very beginning I was leaving my other air intake, I was leaving it wide open, and so it was swinging quite a bit. This last year, you know, the more I've cooked on it, you know, of course, you know how it is. I mean, you learn how it operates and how things squeak and stuff. Well, hell, I mean, I leave that damn thing only cracked about a half an inch when I'm at night, when I'm running that guru, and hell, the damn guru will handle it. I'll fill that damn thing full of wood, and leave my other big air intake. I'll crack it about a quarter of an inch, and the hell, that damn thing will hold. Hell, my turkeys, those turkeys I put on Chadwick Wednesday night.
Yeah,
hell, I put on one that was damn near 23 pounds, and one that was 20, and I don't know, some 16s or so. But, hell, those big birds were done, I thought it was on at like midnight or 2 o'clock. They were sitting at 160 degrees at 9 o'clock that morning. And that was off that
guru.
That's
good. That's good.
I was way done way earlier than what I should have been. I was sitting there thinking, oh, shit. I mean, I turned my damn pit down on that guru. I turned that damn thing down to 190 degrees and just kind of held it. You know, just kind of
where's your guru
hot.
Mounted? Where is it mounted on your box?
The way I have mine mounted is I have it below the fire grate.
Gotta have it.
So, yeah. So, you know, sometimes I say they have been above the fire grate. They just blow on top of the wood. But I say I have mine where it goes below it.
Well, let me ask you this. How far away?
A lot of ash.
How far away? How far away is it from your box? So what kind of chamber, what kind of hardware do you have the distance from the fan to your burn box?
Oh, it's like 2 inches. It's a tube, but it's called a universal tube.
Right,
so it's not but about 2 inches. Yeah.
From your burn box? How does my firebox get that milk with those little plastic fans down?
No, you wouldn't. You'd be surprised. You'd be absolutely surprised about it.
Hey, Chris, next time you're around me, ask me to look at some of the fans. You'd be surprised. They've got them designed where they can put them right up. I mean, right there at it. I mean, it's
really.
It don't get as hot as you think it does down there.
See, I thought the same thing you did, Chadwick. I thought that son of a bitch gonna burn it up, and I have yet to burn it up. I've been running that son of a bitch almost a year now, and I mean, I've not had any problems. It's all about a two. Actually, it's about a 2-inch tube, and I mean, I have it going right into the bottom. But you know, of course, it blows, and of course, it keeps all the ash and shit out. You know, right there in front of it, and it just blows right in there. And I don't have any problem at all. And see, you know, it's kind of like we're talking about fire brick and stuff. I mean, it's kind of like insulating the bottom side of it. You really don't have to because your fire, for the most part, is above that. And of course, you know, heat's going to naturally rise anyway. So, you know, it is different than what, you know, I mean, I can grab a hold of that fan and I can pull it off and it's not even hot.
Well,
it's got an O-ring gasket that sits in there, and it's not hot enough to burn up that rubber gasket.
Well, those fans are what, basically a computer fan, something about that size or a little heavier?
It's like what goes in a computer, Chris.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy's got, I've been using one for about, I've been using Gurus for about 4.5 years now.
Huh.
It makes a hell of a difference.
About 4 years ago, I bought my first one, and I've just bought more and more and more.
Well, let me tell you all this.
I finally got mine this week. I've been jacking with this for damn near a year, and, you know, Chadwick, you know, everybody knew that, you know, I had my Guru set up. I got the Wi-Fi, CyberCube.
Right.
And I got it to the point, because I had a hotspot on my cook trailer. And
right.
I got it to the point that the damn thing would send me a text. Every 20, 30 minutes, it sends me a text and tells me where it's at. Well, one of the big things I've been wanting was to be able to access it like you went to a website. You know, no matter where the hell you were at, just be able to pull it up like a web page and log into it. Well, I've jacked with it and jacked with it and jacked with it with it. Well, this week I got it to work. And so I can give you the IP address to it right now, Chadwick. If I had it running and you could get right on it, you could change my temperatures or wherever where you're sitting.
Well,
so,
wild, ain't it?
That's pretty cool.
It don't matter where the hell you're at now. I mean, I set the damn thing up. You could run my damn Guru from where at your house for me any day.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's cool. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't use the CyberCube. That's a little bit. I don't even have a smartphone, Lance. But I started out back, like I said, about right 4 years ago, something like that, bought the first one, and it's actually some of the first one that's called a pit minder. It's actually just a dial like a rheostat on a on your oven. I've got two of those, and then I've got two of the DigiQs. I've got two of each.
Right.
And I love them, man. I just love them. And I'm always looking on eBay or somebody's got one, I'll snatch it up because, you know, it don't hurt to have a spare.
Well, I'm going to probably embed mine eventually. I've got to figure it out how to where they can't go in there and fuck with it. But I want to eventually put it on my website to where people can actually watch it run it. You know?
Well, I'm going to make me one. I think I'm going to make me one. I'm going to go to Radio Shack. Pick me up a few parts, a couple thermo couplers.
Well, okay. I've got it. I've got the program. I've written the program for it. I have a program. Here's the problem I ran into. Is the temperature sensors. To get a temperature sensor, I got within about 50 degrees being at the center of the temperature probes that I needed to be able to run mine. I mean, I had it for the fan. I had all of that set up because, you know, I did a lot of web-based stuff. And I got to that point right there, and I could not get anybody without spending some serious money to build me a thermistor that would work. That was the problem I got into. I mean, it's not that I can't get them built. It's just I don't want to spend the money to get it built. And that's why I resigned to Guru, because for what I had to pay for the Guru, probably wouldn't have come close to me getting the sensors built. Now, if I was going to do it in a mass market, do what?
Oh, I was going to say, that Guru, we could probably make it where it would run two fans.
They've got a Y deal. Yeah. You can take what I've got or what he's got and Y it off and run through fans, no problem.
Absolutely.
It,
no big deal at all.
Yeah. Chris, they've got one. There's a guy, and I think it's being built. They're building them, and it's on eBay. It's real low budget looking, but it works. I mean, I've been looking at some of that. And it's real. It's a whole lot cheaper than what the Guru stuff is. And it's on eBay. Just pull up, go in there, and look in the barbecue temperature control, and you'll see them. They'll come up, and it's like a third of what the Guru stuff is. Just to try kick around and see what they got.
Right.
And
right.
You know, it's nothing but more than what we've got there. But it's. It's they're building them. I think they're coming out of China.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where it's coming out of.
I'm curious to see how my how mine would run on the Guru. How my unit, my home custom built stick burner would run on the Guru.
I mean, that's mine's a home stick burner, and I mean it made a night and day difference on mine.
Have you tried with the basket you built for it yet?
I'm sorry.
The charcoal basket you built for it, you tried that in there yet?
Yeah. You know what? I've used that in my big pit, but I hadn't put it in there yet. Now, that's going to work. It's going to work because, man, I tell you what, it kicked it. I could fill that charcoal basket up, and I mean, it just fires that big pit up. I mean, it makes it too hot. So I know
your,
that charcoal.
The big round one there you got. The big round one you
yeah.
got?
Yeah, the big round one.
Big round
one. I cooked a couple of 100 pounds of chicken for the church. Few weeks ago, when I started off, I lit the pit with that, and I put a bag of charcoal in there, a couple of hickory sticks under it, and I cleaned her out, super clean mode. That pit, I bet it was 700 degrees hot. I mean, it was talking to me. It was ting, ting, ting. You know, I cleaned it out. But,
ready to cook steaks.
Oh, I'm telling you, you could have charred steaks in about 2 seconds. It was hot, but that big charcoal basket is going to work perfect in my other pit. I've used it in my big one twice, but I hadn't used it in my small one yet. And I bet that would be good with that Guru.
Yeah. I mean, it's a no brainer, man. You got that basket. If you can get an inch underneath that basket and get that air blowing, light a corner.
Uh-huh.
Let it weak burn, man. That dude will burn. It'll burn and it'll burn and it'll burn. I mean,
that's not all I got. I got about 2 inches between my wood rack and the bottom of my pit where my Guru's coming in. And I mean, it's like I said, it's pretty damn close. But I mean, it'll make a night and day difference. You know. And then see, there's also, if you guys ever do, you know, get smartphones. There's a thing called a Pit Pal app. And let me tell you about this Pit Pal app. Guy that built it, he's got it now. It'll run a barbecue Guru, or it'll also run Stokers.
Yeah.
But
he's talking about some money there.
Whew. Yeah,
those
no, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But
you
can't just... It's a free app, and then if you want the professional version of it per se, it's like 99 cents or a dollar. I mean, it's cheap. What it will do is you go in there, you set up your cook, you got your like on my CyberQ, I have 3 meat probes and then of course my 1 pit probe. So I can go in there and I can set it up for my 3 meat probes. I tell it, you know, what meats. I can turn it on, turn on my CyberQ, and then when you go over there, you know, once you get everything set up, I mean, you can tell it what rub you're using, how much your meat weighs, all this information, what charcoal you're using, what wood you're using, everything that you're doing, okay? So you set that up, and then you go in there, and it says, okay, you know, start your pit. So, you know, you click on a button, you start your pit, then you start your meats. Like, say, you know, let's say it's you're going to start your brisket at 10 o'clock, and then, you know, your ribs at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning. You go in there, and you start them as you need them. And then let's say that, okay, brisket at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to wrap my brisket. You go in there, you hit it, you wrap your brisket, or if, let's say that you're going to spritz it or whatever for competition. You go in there and you do all this stuff. You can just keep going in there and building it, okay? So you get through a whole cook. You can save that, and then you can even export it out of there into your computer, and then you've got the whole list of exactly how you cooked that particular contest the whole time frame.
Well.
Down to what the temperatures are, what you did at, you know, whether I wrapped it at 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever I did, it will list all that shit and put it on there for you. And so all of a sudden,
I'm not that smart. You know, I can hang that up. I'm not that smart.
I do the same thing with sheets of paper, sheet of paper,
and a pencil,
you know, I got
and a number two
well,
pencil.
That's what I do. But
graph,
now I sit there and I just click
know.
It and I say, okay, I'm gonna wrap it because it already has that stuff in there. It says, okay,
right. Wrap,
you know, foil. Okay, I'm gonna foil it. And so I just click a button, I'm done. And I go in there and I do those things. It's pretty neat. And then he's also even got the temperature charts, to where you can watch your temperatures, and you can see all your swings and everything else throughout the whole cook.
Well, nice. But I had my wife, she did a deal for me on the computer there on Excel, and made me out a spreadsheet and all. I just fill in the blanks and run with it, man. That's how I do it. Makes it easy. Makes it a lot easier.
No, and when I first started, that's how I did it. I mean, I set up a spreadsheet for every cook-off that I did. And I still to this day have every cook-off I've ever done, I have a spreadsheet in there for that. The only difference is now, instead of me having to do that and before I go to a cook-off or during a cook-off, is I do it on here and then I just export it into it, an Excel spreadsheet.
Right.
It'll do, and all I got to do is just click buttons now. I don't have to do much damn typing and stuff.
All my stuff like that. I go to comp, you know, something, and I add a little heat or something to my sauce, and maybe it works good or maybe it didn't work so good, and I've got records. I mean, you know, I go there next year, I won't be heat. I'll be back toward the sweeter, you know, with a little bite, you know, and it's consistency.
That's exactly it, and that's where I've been. I mean, that's been a huge part of my success is that right there. I mean, I go back, I look at every time I do a cook, wherever I'm at and how I cooked, and I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, when I won the state championship here, it was a perfect example. I mean, I had the spreadsheet from last year. We were fifth overall last year. I pretty well followed the sheet this year. Of course, you know, I was cooking with a little bit different rubs. But other than that, I mean, I followed my time frames and everything, and hell, we won it this year. So, for me, that's my big deal is that, you know, people ask me why I'm not rushed at a cook-off and stuff like that. Because when I show up to a cook-off, I already got a plan. I mean, I already know where I'm going, how long I'm going to be cooking stuff. You know, I'll have a brisket hang up. I mean, that's my biggest problem is I'll have a brisket hang up or something like that, and it may push me an hour longer than I want to be. But I've already got usually a few hours of spare time in there to begin out, you know, for a brisket because, you know, I've got plenty of time to rest them. So, but other than that, everything else to me is time. I mean, my first year when I started competing, I never put a probe in a chicken. I never took a temperature of chicken. And we're talking about half chickens. I never probed one. That was my best category. I probed a few this year, and every time I probe one, I screw up. So I'm back to no probing.
Well,
I tell you what, man, I hate to interrupt. I got to go, brother. I got to go. I got to go tuck my daughter in and tell her good night and read her story, and it's going to wind me up, I guess.
Phillips,
good to talk to you, brother. Call me on Wednesday night now.
All right, bud. I'll be there.
All right, Lance, you too, brother.
All right, buddy.
Y'all have a great night. All right, see
you
later.
See you, bud.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, see you, bud. But, no, I mean, you're exactly right, Phillips. I mean, that's the way it is, and, I mean, that's what we do. And, you know, I think that that's part of being successful. I mean,
We were down at Bolivar. We were down at Bolivar about a month ago, and Chris and him was right behind me there. And he said he was over prepping chicken. He said, "Man, you already finished?" I said, "Yeah, I done prepped 24 thighs, you know." 24, I said, "Well, I was doing a test run. I was doing 12 my old way and 12 a new way, you know." Hey,
absolutely.
You know, and that's very seldom do I do that. Most of the time I do all my trial and error, you know, stuff here at home. But I had something I wanted to try. So, I mean, hey, it's 12 more thighs. It's not that great big deal, you know. But and it turned out pretty decent, you know. I was very pleased with it because I was doing another cook-off the next weekend, you know.
Yeah.
And just wanted to try something
different. You know, when I went to the roll, I mean, we ran 24 each day. I mean, just, you know, because I wanted to be able to pick up, the best that I could out of, you know, what we had. And, and that's always been the thing. I mean, whether I'm cooking half chickens or I'm cooking thighs, if I'm doing IBCA, and that's something that always gets everybody is, hell, most of the time I'll cook 8 half chickens at a contest. And they're like, "Why the hell do you cook so much?" Hell, it's cheap.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend $20 on 4 damn chickens.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hell, that chicken could pay me $500. So, I've got a $20 investment in that damn chicken. Well, hell, I'm going there. And people don't understand
it.
They're like, they'll cook one damn chicken and they'll turn in both halves. Well, hell, I mean, some days I just, you know, in a perfect world, that's great. But, I mean, there's a lot of days that I sit there and I can look at 8 halves and I'm looking for the two prettiest birds out of that whole deal. And that's why I'm successful in doing that.
Yeah, that's like most people. You know, they're cooking 12, 14 thighs, you know, just to get 6.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. You get a flare
Absolutely.
Up and skin shrink up like a quarter sitting on top of it. You better have some spares.
It's like ribs. Ribs is the next category that I always look at. Always took 3 racks of ribs. Yeah, I need 6 to 9 ribs. I mean, depending on what contest I'm in. But, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, we're talking about $25 to $30 in ribs.
Yeah.
And then that could pay up, you know, $500.
That's right.
Well, hell. Now, brisket,
like me,
I'll probably cook one brisket.
Yeah, I sit there contest, you know, and depending on where I'm going, and I'm allowed to cook 2 sides. If it's a little bit bigger contest, I'll cook 3 sides, or maybe 4.
Yeah.
It depends on where I'm at, what they're paying out, and it's a lot of stuff factors into all that.
Yeah, I mean, I always cook 2 butts, and I mean, you know, now at the roll, I cook 2 briskets. Generally, I'll cook 1 brisket. I mean, I don't mess with the brisket as much, because I mean, it's long cooked. I mean, you know, you're paying a lot more attention to the brisket. I mean, you know, when you look at it, when you can see it, I mean, through it, I mean, in the cryo vac, you can tell a lot more about that. Butts, you know, I'll cook 2 butts at least. If I'm at the roll or something like that, I may cook 4 butts, you know.
Right.
But, you know, most contests I'm going to cook 2 butts, and I'm going to try to pull one for a for my money muscle, and the other one I'm gonna pull. And you know, I'm gonna cook 3 racks of ribs, whether it's IBCA or Kansas City, and then you know, chickens. I mean, like I said, I'm gonna cook either, you know, 3 to 4 whole chickens. You know, cut in half. I'm gonna do halves, or you know, just what's that? I mean, I may cook, you know, 16, you know, 12 to 16. You know, thighs at a competition. And I mean,
right.
You know, you've already spent a shitload of money getting into the damn thing anyway. So, I mean, you know, an extra $30 or $50 ain't, I mean,
make a difference.
You know, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a no brainer. I mean, yep. You know, hell, I mean, you know, that's just, you know, hell, I mean, that's, you know, and that's what people don't think about. They don't think about that
yep.
into, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, hell, I mean, we could go in there, you know, with one damn, you know, one rack of ribs. And, I mean, and I've done it. I mean, I've cut all my ribs out of one rack. But, you know,
yep.
I've had so many damn times that I've cut my ribs out of 3 racks.
Right.
To get what I wanted.
Exactly.
And, you know, and I think that's what separates, you know, the successful guys from the other guys. I mean, you know, if I could go in there and just cut one rack of damn ribs every damn time and do that well, then hell, that's what I do. So that's you know, it don't happen. And
like,
you know, so
Vegas,
many people
want to hang your paycheck on the line too. It
yeah.
might work and it might not work.
I mean, that's the thing about it is, and I think that is a big thing. I mean, I'll go in, I'll watch this stuff. And, you know, I said a lot of people give me hell about it. It's like, man, you're getting a lot of damn meat. Well, you're damn right. I mean, I've already spent a lot of damn money. I'm here to win. And, you know, if that's what it takes, I mean, it's going to cost me another $12 to win that $500. Well, hell, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, you know, it's silly. I mean, to go into those things, I mean, you know, I guess, I mean, you know, if your backyard or something like that, I mean, maybe that's one thing. But, I mean, when you go to the level of competition that we're competing in, when you go into the pro side of it and you're there, well, by God, you better go in and you be willing to do it. Because, I mean, you know, hell, you're there to win. I mean, you know, hell, we're not going in there to lose. And, I mean, just you're spending all damn money. So,
right.
you know, not 50 or 50 bucks, I mean.
It ain't nowhere to be trial and error and test it. You know, I mean, I've done it a lot. I mean, I've done it, but
well,
that's it.
I mean,
I got my main stuff
over
here, you know. I got my main stuff
over here. I mean, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing right there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I had that, you know, I had a situation this year that one in Midland where we had that Smithfield rib deal. Well, hell,
yeah.
I get some shitty-ass ribs, to be honest with you. So, I mean, but I cooked 6 racks of ribs. Well, you know, I played around, and then, they got the 6 best ribs I was going to have. And, you know, out of 60 teams, I mean, hell, they were, you know, I think me and Cervantes, I think he was 15th, and I was 16th or 14th, 15th. I mean, hell, you know, we were sitting there in the top 20. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guarantee you it wasn't Smithfield ribs that I turned in, you know.
Oh me! That's
you know, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say that.
Exactly what you're
saying. I mean, that's just one of the things.
Yeah,
I mean
it's like we go to. There's a couple that I do up here, and they're Tyson sponsored, full blown Tyson sponsored, and I pull up and I got a brand of chicken. They said, "What brand of chicken is that?" I said, "Can't tell you."
Yeah.
Is there no, it's in a no name. I mean, I'm going to tell you, it's organic chicken. It's just not, from here.
Yeah.
It's not from here. You know,
I said,
you're not cooking Tyson chicken? He said, I said, you can't buy Tyson chicken around where I'm from, you know. And I said,
yeah.
They don't sell it. He just kind of sniggers. He said, well, I know that you can't. He said, I'm just aggravating you. I said, well, okay. I said, and there's some of those guys that take some of that chicken that they've given away, which are the culls. And the breast weigh, you know, 2 pounds.
Right.
You know, these chickens are like turkeys, you know, and they're taking
yeah.
that chicken and cooking for the contest. I'm going, are y'all okay? You know, what are you doing?
Well,
I mean, you don't have to cook certain chicken for the contest.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what they don't understand. I mean, they don't understand a lot of that. And, I mean, you know, it's like my chicken. I mean, you know, my chickens in IBCA, and this is something that a lot of people don't realize, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, I cooked an organic style chicken. And the main reason is because the skin is a lot thinner. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to worry about it being so damn tough. I mean, because you go to a Pilgrim chicken or something like that, them damn things, I mean, they can be tough as hell.
Yeah.
Well, so the brand that I was using last year, I mean, same deal. I mean, it was an organic type chicken. You know, I generally cook a 5-pound bird, so that's about 2.5 pounds a half. And in my cooking process, that works perfectly in IBCA. Well, this year, them damn things all of a sudden, they're about 3, 3.5. Well, in the very beginning of the year, I mean, it screwed my whole process up. I was getting my ass whooped in chicken, and I was like, my God. And then, you know, lo and behold, when we cooked that state championship, I got a hold of some 5-pound birds. Lo and behold, first damn place. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this and I'm, you know, I'm going back through everything. It's like, okay, what the hell did I change? What did I do? He went back to the weight with my cooking process. And I was like, okay. Well, then I went back, you know, I'm buying jam chicken from same damn place week after week. I went back, you know, and I'm bitching. I'm like, hey, I need heavier birds. We ain't got any heavier birds. Well, then I go back through them slump again. And so I finally had enough, and I was like, okay, I got to find something better. So I got to do some digging. I finally found a place that I can get 5-pound birds again. Well, lo and behold, this fall, chicken come back up since I found them damn 5-pound birds with my cooking process. Now, the only thing that did change is I'm cooking them a little faster because of the guru. I'm not running them quite as long as I was before that. But other than that, everything, I mean, my brining and everything else had gone right back to where the hell it was at with no damn problem, and the son of a bitch went to hit me again. And I was like, you know, and I mean, it was just a weight thing in my process. Now, I probably could have eventually figured out, you know, what the hell to do with these damn 3-pound birds, but I was like, why the hell I want to do that? I know what works, and if I can find it, this will work, and it does every damn time.
It's kind of like put all the time, it might go flat.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like don't change it.
Yeah. That's it. And I mean, that was the one variable that was this year. That was the one variable that was kind of screwing around with me. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm, you know, I'm not really adjusting that much for it because this is what we had always done. But, you know, I was having these situations where, you know, and here's the other side of that was that all of a sudden I started kind of probing them a little bit to kind of see where my temperatures were at. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at them like, oh, hell, you know, I'm way too high for where I need to be at this particular time. To where I wasn't worrying about it before, but, you know, now I've got a smaller bird, so, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm going, oh, shit, you know, I'm ahead of schedule. And, I mean, I'll tell you something. I mean, hell, one weekend I pulled the damn birds out and I had them sitting in pans, and I had them sitting on my damn rack for a few minutes stalling the damn cook. That didn't work with the shit. But, you know, I was like, hell, if I keep letting them damn things cook, I'm going to be screwed. They're going to even be worse than they were. I mean, hell, we still hit top 10, but I'm sitting there thinking, oh, hell, this is going to be bad. And, I mean, I'm sitting like at 150 degrees, and I've got 2 hours before turning. I'm going, holy shit. You know, them damn things need to come out for a little bit. I mean, we're above critical level. Now they need to come out, and I'm going to have to stall this a little bit. Because, I still had ribs and brisket in there. You know, that's one thing, you know, cooking on offset like I do. I mean, I still got other meats in there. So it ain't like I can turn my damn temperature down, and I'm going, you know, what am I going to do here?
like, come on, dog, quit biting me in the butt.
Yeah, exactly, you know, I'm sitting there going, hell, you know, and it's like, damn it, you bastards, you know, let's do this deal. So, but anyway, well,
me,
hell, we've gone damn near an hour.
Yeah. That's kind of why, Lance, I mean, like I said, I cook on most time 2 to 3 different cookers at all times. I mean, that way, different temperatures. You know, I got one backwoods run. They'll run all night long, and I've been cooking my ribs and my chicken on my rotisserie, and I've got another cooker that I use for my brisket.
Right.
You know, it's but now coming out this next year, maybe I shouldn't say much, but I'm going to be cooking on 2 Humphreys and a Green Mountain. I'm gonna have 3 different cookers, and I'll pretty much the only thing that'll be cooked on the Green Mountain will be my, you know, like we don't have a lot of brisket up here. We have a few, unless they're just KCBS. We have a couple of contests that we do have briskets. Most of it is, you know, anything but or backyard, they call it, you know.
Right.
And we do steak, we do pork chop, we do tenderloin, we do shrimp. You know, it just whatever. And some of them even let you throw in desserts.
We'll do some of that around here. You know, and that's the deal. I mean, if I wasn't doing brisket, you know, I mean, hell, I mean, you know, hell, it's like a butt. I mean, hell, I mean, you can cook a butt in, you know, 8 hours. I mean, you know, not probably not a shoulder, but I mean, if you're just doing a butt, I mean, hell, I mean, I could push it, you know. I generally cook that a little bit slower, but I mean, hell, I mean, you could push it. I mean, but hell, when you're all you're having to do is cook chicken and ribs and stuff like that, I mean, hell, you know, I did that this year. I mean, hell, I showed up to a damn contest and cooked spare ribs in 5.5 hours. I mean, I pushed my guru. It was colder than shit that day. And, you know, like hell, John Reeves, all them guys, they were pissed. They had wool blankets over their damn cookers. I got the damn guru fired up. I'm throwing wood in, and I'm drinking beer by about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, and they're like, oh, well, you know, and that's when Reeves kind of learned a little bit about me was that, you know, he's like, well, you know, he's like, you got that fancy-ass guru and blah, blah, blah. He said, I got a guy over taking care of that. And I said, well, let me show you your problem with your guy. He said, what do you mean? He said, I got Cole. I said, yeah. I said, Cole's a good guy. I said, you're right. I said, I don't have a problem with Cole. I said, but let me show you the flaw in this. And I said, hey, Cole, I said, you want a beer? He said, you damn right I want a beer, so we'll come over and get one. And so we're standing over there, Cole and I were drinking a beer, and I said, are you seeing the flaw in your problem here? And Reed's looking at me like, he said, what do you mean? I said, who the hell came in your fire now?
Nobody.
He looked at me like, you son of a bitch. I said, that's right.
Tours.
There's your problem.
Tours
I said, my guru is still working.
Absolutely. It's
I said, your
like,
coal
like,
is not. I said, yeah. I said, your coal is
on,
drinking beer with me.
Tours. it happens.
Yeah. I said,
it
he's
happens.
Like, you're a sumbitch. And I was like, hey. He asked me
what
the
is what it
was.
Is.
I'm showing you what
it is.
What it I mean,
is.
There you go. And he's like, damn you. I was like, hey, there you go. See,
yeah, like
I don't have to worry
earlier.
About that with Guru.
You know, I was talking about my cooking partner there. He didn't trust it for a long, long time. Finally, I said, would you finally just lay down and go to sleep? And I said, man, if it goes off, it's going to alarm right here. It's going to alarm right here. And I fooled him there one night. I fooled it there a little bit and got it to alarm. He said, what is that? I said, meat trap, meat. Aggravating you. I said, go out and look at the temp. Went out there and it's sitting on 225 degrees, just Cadillacing. He says, I need to go to bed, don't I? I said, go to sleep. And you know what?
That's
I'm going to get 5 hours sleep, 6 hours, sometimes even more, you know. And I was at a cook here about 4 weeks ago and it got extremely cold. I mean, it just turned off cold on us and those guys in there, man, they're dragging out blankets and they're over here and they're, man, what are you doing? I said, listen, guys, I said, this is an insulated water smoker with a guru. Unless I run out of charcoal or my fan quits, it's going to hold 225 all night long.
Yep.
Regardless. I said, put your hand on it. He says, well, that thing's kind of cool. I said, but what's that temperature there say? He says, well, it's flashing 225, you know, like back and forth. He's going, I said, it makes a difference, guys. I said, it's insulated.
Yeah.
I said, it don't vary. It doesn't matter if it gets 100 degrees outside or 30 degrees outside. It cooks the same.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's it. I mean, you know, I'm fixing to, there's fixing to be some news all over, I mean, here in about a month, well, about 3 weeks. And because West Texas Pitmasters is fixing to kind of blow the hatches wide open here. So you just kind of keep watching. But we're gonna have some things show up and some things change. And you know, hell, I mean, but that's it. I mean, you know, I'm an old stick burner. I'm still going to be a stick burner at the end of this other deal going on. I'm going to still be a stick burner. And, you know, hell, I mean, that's just how I am. And, you know, I don't have an insulated firebox. I'm fixing to have an insulated firebox. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with that. I mean, shit, I mean, I may save a couple of forks before it's all over with. I do like throwing a little wood at it. And, you know, hell, I mean, you know, hell, that's part of the nostalgia of this whole thing is that, you know, hell, I almost let some bitch up tonight just to be standing out here because, you know, when I do this radio show, I do it right out here off my pit. I've got Wi-Fi and internet, and I do it right out here, and I've got me a damn heater out here right now, and I'm standing out, and it's probably 25 degrees, but, hell, I like being around my damn pit and talking.
Yeah. Hey, that's cool. That is cool.
That is cool. Buddy, I appreciate you calling in. I'm glad you called in. And, hell, it's been a pretty good night.
Oh, yeah. I've enjoyed it. I like to rib folks a little bit. You know, hey, that's like I messaged Michael there. Mike, and I told him, I said, hey, tell Lance I was shigging. He didn't tell you that, but I was messaging both of you back and forth. Hey, it's all in fun. It's all in fun, man.
Oh no, he's a good guy. I mean, I just
he is such a wealth
of information. I mean, you know, we have we have conference calls.
Yeah.
Being on Team Oak Ridge, I mean, hell, we have those damn conference calls, and you know, hell, I mean, shit, you'll get some big boys on. I mean, and hell, I mean. You know, hell, you know, they'll damn sure help you. And I mean, you know, when I did this deal with Mike, you know, I seen his application last year, and I filled the damn thing out thinking that I didn't stand a damn chance getting in with this with him. And, you know, well, I'll never forget getting a damn email. I got an email on Sunday saying that you're in. And I was like, son of a bitch, really? And, you know, it's just... you know, like I said, I mean, the things like I said, I mean, hell, like the Royal, I mean, hell, I called him and I said, hey, man, I said, I need, you know, or emailed him. I said, I need such and such, you know, because he said, well, I'm going to be at the Royal. I said, well, I need this and this and this. And, I mean, the man showed up in person, delivered that stuff by hand, didn't even charge us at the Royal for rugs. And,
hey, that's
cool. You know, he's like, hey, you got any questions or whatever? And I'm like, oh, hell, I wish I had questions. But, I mean, you know, he just, you know, that's the one thing, I mean, I can say about Michael. I mean, you know, he's always been there. I mean, and, you know, hell, we've got a good little network. I mean, hell, there's people, you know, like Brian McLarty, you know,